I didn't catch that call. This is KE8RUA, Tampa. How's it going this morning, Lance?
Not want to go to bed, but here I am. I'm on my way to work.
Yeah, that sounds real familiar.
Yeah, at least it's the last time for this week I have to go in. Get to get 2 half days in a row, so get to sleep in a little bit on at least tomorrow.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, we had half days last week. It's probably time for conferences for your kids, huh?
Yeah, it was last Friday they had half day. They had 3 half days in a row this week, and then in 2 weeks they have another half day. So they have a whole day of school this whole month.
And then the week after that is spring break for us. I don't know about you guys.
They don't do a spring break. It'd be Easter, so I guess maybe that, haven't looked at the calendar that far ahead.
Yeah, for some reason they don't, and it's probably this year because it's so late, but they haven't recently been attaching spring break to Easter, which is interesting. When I was a kid, it was always hooked to Easter.
It depends on the school, I guess, how they do it. They don't really get a midwinter break. They just get a couple days off in the middle of winter, so they usually get like a week for midwinter break, but they feel like when they get like a Friday, they have like a half day on a Thursday, a Friday and a Monday.
Yeah, I think a lot of schools are like that. My daughter still gets a full week, but my wife's a teacher, and she just gets 2 days, I think, a Friday and a Monday.
Yeah, it depends on how they want to fill out their days, I guess.
Yep. Surprised no one else is out here. I wonder where Sean and Dakota are. I know Donald went out of town, so he wouldn't be on, but surprised nobody else has chimed in.
I guess they didn't listen to an alarm clock like we do.
That could be it. Dakota could be already in the office. He's supposed to be there earlier than he usually gets there, so who knows. But yeah, it's a grind right now, that's for sure. We need more early morning sunlight and it'll start getting easier.
It won't be too long. Waking up in the daylight again.
Yeah, maybe even by the end of this month or mid next month, we should be. It'll be nice. KE8RUA.
Yep. We're going in Michigan's worst season, the construction season.
Yep, you read the articles that 75 is going to be closed south of Milwaukee for 2 months.
Yep, let's say I don't really go that way that much, but you're going to take 675 around, and you got all the stuff between Grand Blanc and where does that start, Clarkston or whatever. It's good times.
Are they starting that back up between Grand Blanc and Clarkston? Last time I drove up, which was a month ago or longer, they had started, the construction had stopped, so I thought they were done with that area.
No, that's a 3-year project. They quit for the winter. Last week there was nothing, and yesterday was the first day I had to drive back, and they had the barrels out, but nobody was doing anything. They just they had shut down the one lane, so they're getting ready to drag the barriers out and then put it and then shut down southbound and tear out southbound.
That sucks. That is just a nightmare over there. Man, I'm gonna have to start looking with that and the construction south of Milwaukee. Depending on how far up north I am, it might make more sense to take 27 down and 96 to 696 across.
Yeah, unfortunately for me, there's not really a good alternative to get to work. It's kind of 75 or that's it, so I'm pretty much stuck in it. Last year was pretty decent. Going into it, it was like no traffic, and then you hit traffic at the end for whatever reason. I don't know why you'd always hit traffic when it was opening back up, but every single time you would, and then there's traffic getting into it on the way home, but once you're in it, you just would fly right through it.
Yeah, I would agree. Once you got into it, there was two lanes each way, and it moved. It just, that choke point of getting people from multiple lanes down to two lanes was what caused the chaos, because people are not good at that.
Yeah, I just never understood why it always backed up going southbound at the end when it opens back up. So the only thing I can think of is there's like two entrances like right in a row. So it's probably just dealing with all the people merging, not enough real estate for me to merge in.
Yeah, possibly. Now, is this the second or third year of that project?
This is year two, but year three, I think, is going to be a little less intense. So they're put the finishing touches on everything. And I don't know if it's, finish all the guardrails and paint all the lines and put all the signs up and all that, but it sounds like year three will be less intense than year one and two.
Hopefully that's the case. Yeah, I bet it's similar to down here when they were redoing 75 at 696. They spent a ton of time after the road was done finishing the barriers, painting them, and doing all that kind of stuff. So probably right. It's the final touches on it.
Yeah, it's almost more aggravating because it's, they'll shut lanes down and we're like working in, 100-foot section and hold things shut down, or they'll open it up, close it again, open it up, close it again. It's just never predictable.
Yeah, and that's what's real frustrating, like you said, when you're trying to get somewhere and you think all the lanes are open and it's going to be smooth sailing, and it's absolutely not.
Yeah, I thought yesterday I was in the traffic for the construction, and right where the barrel started on the southbound side, there's a major accident. Apparently they had the highway closed for 6 hours, you know, they're trying to clear that accident.
That's not good. It's never good when they have to close the road.
Yeah, it was a charter bus hit a pickup, that hit a van, that hit a tire truck, then pushed the tire truck into another truck and a semi sitting on the shoulder, and it was quite the mess. And that first pickup didn't make it home.
That's terrible.
Yep. Never good, you never know. taking a charter bus to the back end will definitely not tickle.
Not at all. Hey Lance, I am pulling in here, so I will catch up with you possibly this afternoon or tomorrow. I will be clear on your final. This is KE8RUH.
Alrighty, I still got 33 minutes to go. Enjoy the living up north. We'll say 7-3, this is AAB1.
KCAK Joe, good morning guys, enjoy your travels, be safe, and talk to you later in the day. Be mobile for a while, but Anthony, have a great one. KCK channel.
Is it Cujo?
Absolutely. Good morning, Lance.
Did you get into your radio, sir? You sound way different.
I'm running 5 on Richmond, and I'm in Richmond. Just moved the mic a little bit away from my mouth. Don't want to overpower. I know I come in a little hot here and there.
Nah, I didn't say it was bad. It's usually, I don't know, usually sound more echoey, but it was a little bit more clear. And didn't sound like what I'm used to you sounding like.
Probably because I've only been up for an hour and I'm already out the door on my way to work. Is this the echoey part right here?
Yeah, I did not want to get out of bed this morning, but it was, I could not fall asleep last night, so it was, took a little bit to wind down.
I had to be up early today for work. I got up. City meeting tonight at 6:30, so I gotta get out, get my work done, so I can get home in time to be at the meeting, kind of thing. So woke up at, I don't know, like 6:15, something like that. Did my normal asthmatic nebulizer, do that every morning, and then I just start my day. Usually out of the house in like 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's about what I had here. I was updating our website for the Oxcom group. Just trying to figure out what the last guy did. taking a lot of intense thought right before bed, just could not wind down.
I worked, 10 hours yesterday? So I didn't get home until almost, 8:30, 8:45 or something like that. Wolfed down some dinner and then finally, took a shower and relaxed. And then half hour later went to bed. Woke up at 6:15 this morning. Starting a whole new day in this wonderful weather.
Alright, I had a fun day at work yesterday. Could basically shut down our pilot builds for today because we got the PLC wasn't telling the robot to weld the car together.
Well, that'll take a wind down real quick if the PLC decides to go south.
Yeah, luckily they're just pilot vehicles, not customer cars, but it's just kind of like, what the heck, guys? You guys are supposed to do weld inspections and, you know, measure how big the welds are. And I guess if it's not there, it's a good weld. I don't know.
And a good weld, what they do is just pull it off the line and throw it in for scrap, recycle, and then they just go on to the next.
No, there's different repair procedures depending on where it's at, if it's been painted yet or not, or, you know, they can either hit it with a manual spot weld gun, or they'll drill it out and MIG weld it, or they'll drill it out and put a structural rivet in. There's all sorts of different little procedures that they have to do, and depending where it's at, and you know, the intent of the weld is all relative. And if you can even get to it, if it was closed out before you noticed it.
Yeah, after I thought about it, as soon as you start talking about rewelding it or the other repairs, I've seen that before on some locations I've been to. You know, where the weld wasn't just right, you know, it didn't pass inspection, but repairable, and they manually went in there and picked it all up. Yeah, I've seen that before. Welding aluminum, though, is crazy.
Yeah, I don't have too much experience with that, or we shy away from aluminum. It, I don't know, the latest Wrangler, they went through and they designed that whole car to be aluminum, and when they found out how much the bill was going to be to weld it all, they said, you know what, it's not worth it. Make it steel.
Yeah, steel's better. Well, I'll give it a chat in a bit. I know you're almost to where you're at, and I got my coworker just called me trying to meet up, so... 73 in your final, talk to you on the flip, KCAKJO.
Yeah, you got 25 minutes still, so if you're still out here at 73, stay behind.
W8DAP. KJ8CFM.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, there is hope. Yeah, I'm on the way to the dentist this morning. Dave went yesterday, same time, but yesterday. Go to the same dentist.
Yeah, that's always fun. I'm driving across town to a customer meeting right at the heart of all the problems. So I'm making my way over to Southfield. And, yeah, it's a slow go. My arrival time keeps increasing. So we'll see. We'll see if the time I actually wind up getting there.
Yeah, with 696 closed, right?
Well, it's closed eastbound. I'm not sure how everything is westbound. I think it's open, but of course everybody's changing their route, so it's just, yeah, it's just a mess. You just don't got big enough roads going out that way to handle a shutdown like that. So it'll be fun for a little bit till everybody finds their new routines.
Yep. I remember when eastbound 696 opened, and I remember when westbound 696 opened. Like westbound 696 all the way through was like 1990. That sounds about right.
I think it was about 88, and the only reason why I say that is because sometimes you have strange memories that for whatever reason you remember. And I remember being in elementary school, and we had to bring in a news article, and I brought one in on the on 696 opening all the way. I distinctly remember that, and I was living in Washington at the time, so that definitely was before 1990, so I think it was 88, something like that.
I'm saying 89, because I was going to Specs Howard. And I used to take 8 Mile, and I wasn't going to Specs Howard in 88. I was in 89 and 90, so I would say 89. I'll have to look it up when I get home. But when it opened up eastbound, that was like early 80s. I mean, there was 696, but it would just stop and dump you off either north or southbound 75. But when it first opened, I think it was like 82, maybe.
There you go. Now we just got to remember to Google it when we get home. Yeah. Tell you what, the weather kind of sucks. I enjoyed the last 2 days. I wish I would have got out and played on the radio like I wanted to because it looks like we'll be back to cold for a little bit. Hopefully there's another warm-up. I haven't looked yet. So.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to hit the mid to upper 40s today, which is horrible, but yeah, went up to like 63 or something a couple days ago. That was nice. But we'll probably get one more big snowstorm before this is all over. Probably, hopefully just up north, but yep. Yeah, I think I'm ready for the summer. I got my snowmobiling in. I'm kind of happy I did that.
Yeah, I wish it was time for more ice fishing and getting up north, but it was a long hockey schedule this season for some reason. I guess we got our money's worth, but yeah, it was a long season. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it warming up. I just want to try and get a free weekend here so I can get up north, start working on things. I got an order form for Skoda County. They have a annual tree sale, so I got to get that filled out this month here, and I'm going to order a bunch of trees to plant on the property. I'm going to get that all filled out and try to get up in the spring to get that stuff planted and get everything, try and at least start doing some little improvements like that.
Yep, I got a bunch of stuff for the cottage, too. This guy doesn't know how to merge. Anyhow, yeah, I got some projects at the cottage, too. So, yep, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, yesterday I had to get my laptop with all my ham radio stuff on it finally died. It's not booting up in that anymore, so my new laptop I had to get all the WSJP, and I got to get CPS, I got all that stuff downloaded and installed, so I got FT8 back working, so now I'm going to try to get all my OpenGD77 stuff and all my radio programs installed. It's a pain in the butt. It's time-consuming once you have everything set up and it's working.
Where are you now?
I'm at 14 Mile in John R.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you don't sound too far west. You don't have any noise at all in your signal. So, yep. Very good. Well, I'm still wanting to get a couple more, two or three more trees cut down on my property. Still leaving a bunch of them up for shade, but some of them are just too big and they're, looks like they're just about dead anyhow. Anywho, so yeah, you're planting trees, I'm cutting them down.
Well, we got to cut trees down. I'm just, I'm kind of shocked how expensive it is to take them down. So when we go up turkey hunting, where supposedly my brother-in-law, his buddy, used to cut trees down for a living, he's coming, and he's going to climb them and cut the tops off of them at least. The part that we're concerned is going to fall into the house, and we're going to cut those down and get that wood cut up and stacked. So we still got quite a bit we actually really need to take down. But, yeah, they wanted like $6,000 to take down five trees. It's crazy. So now we're just going to try to do the tops of the critical ones, and we'll kind of get to the other ones later.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, anywhere from $700 to $1,100 a tree. Yeah, it's about mine was a little bit cheaper because I had a friend of mine owns that construction company. He did it, and plus to grind the stumps down, that's expensive too. If you just want to cut down, that's one thing. If the stumps ground down, that's a little bit extra.
Yeah, I mean, in all fairness, these are big trees. I mean, they're the tallest trees on the property right next to the house, so it's, you know, we cut one down before, and it looks like, it's not a big deal until it's sitting on the ground, and then you got, like, a week's worth of work to get it all cut, chopped, stacked, you know, so it is a lot of work, but yeah, it's still expensive. I mean, $6,000 is $6,000.
Yeah, the trees that I had cut down were all big trees. And yeah, you know, once you get them down, you gotta, especially trying to get down a big tree on a small property without hitting anything, it's a whole other story. And then when you get on the ground, you gotta chop it up and haul it away. So yeah, I mean, these guys worked their butts off for a couple days, so I guess it was worth it for them. You know, it was worth it.
Yeah, especially on your property there, that's definitely a tight space to work in. I wouldn't be trying those cuts myself, just for fear of damaging something. Yeah, I don't know, but yeah, this year we'll try to get up there, get stuff fixed a little bit at least, so we'll see how it goes. When's the next time you're heading up?
WEAP, this weekend. We didn't go last weekend. A bunch of stuff came up. Definitely this weekend. Check up on the place. I mean, I got the cameras and everything. Everything's okay. But pretty much all the snow's gone. As of yesterday, I went with the cameras and there's like barely any snow. Pretty much gone.
Yeah, we're going to try this weekend because we actually have no hockey, and then next week, every day of the week, we have hockey tryouts for the next season because, unfortunately, you're a free agent at the end of every season, so, you know, like four different teams you have to try out on, so every day of the week we'll be at a different ice rink. So I think this weekend I'll try to get up, at least for Saturday, drive up Friday, you know, hang out Saturday, come home Sunday morning, something like that.
I don't know if I think I told you, one month from today, April 12th, is that memorial for Mark up north, St. Helens. It's going to be held at the St. Helens County Park campgrounds on Airport Road.
1 to 5 or something like that on the 12th.
Ah, cool, on the 12th. All right, yeah, I'll, yeah, that's probably a free weekend, too, so. All right, well, that's good to know. Yeah, I'll try to make that if I can get up there. So it's just memorial service, or are they gonna do a burial or anything?
Well, just a celebration of life. You know, it's just gonna be like you get together and they're gonna have serve lunch or whatever. So, yeah, I told Captain Don, and he said he's interested in going, but you know, it's up in the air for him. But he wants to go. Just, you know, he talked to him like multiple times every night on the ISS. He'd stay up all night. So yeah, that was just bizarre. I mean, it still bums me out. I go into town, I'm always like, yeah, we got to get a hold of Mark and go out for pizza, and then it's like you realize that he's gone, you know, and it's like, oh man, it just still hasn't completely hit, you know. I mean, it did, but just, you know, every once in a while you catch yourself, you know, trying to, you know, pick up the phone and call him.
KE8 TFM. Yeah, it was a bad lead year last year, that's for sure. Definitely, I hope this year is a little bit on the quieter side, so. Yeah, definitely strange. That's what I hate about getting older. These things now, I'm at that stage of life where this stuff's happening, and yeah, it sucks. So, at least I won't know when it's my turn.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm in front of the dentist office, so I'm going to head in. So, catch you a little bit later. Maybe I'll catch you, I don't know how long I'm going to be there, but I'll be back out probably an hour. So, maybe I'll talk to you then. If not, I'll talk to you later tonight. Drive safe, WADAP.
All right, take it easy. We'll talk to you. KE8 TFM.
Leaving the dentist office over here, 27 Mile in Van Dyke, heading back to work. Man, you go to the dentist a lot.
I gotta go. I got a toothache, I think. Got a spot that's a little sensitive. And I'm searching for a new one, because we got a whole new insurance provider, so gotta play that whole game again. Managed, you gotta go within a particular system, blah, blah, blah.
Yep. I don't know, it was a couple months ago they had to fix a root canal, but then before that was cleaning. So I go every 6 months for cleaning. But I did go a couple months ago for something. I think it was, oh yeah, it was that root canal. A redo. So a filling turned into a root canal.
There you go. Hey, I just pulled up to the gas pumps. I got to tank up. I'll be back in a couple minutes. WADAP.
WADAP.
Okay, I'm back.
I got a full tank of gas.
I got a bunch of Yeah. Pretty deep up here.
What the hell is going on, man?
You're just waking up. Ready for my nap. I need another nap, but I have to get up.
Alrighty. Hey, that, I asked you about 700. At the time I had asked, it was down. Everything was saying, all the machines were saying connecting, and there was absolutely no information coming from 700. So if you say, if it looked fine when you checked it out, it must have fixed itself.
No, so I thought it was fine, but I was on my phone and I was dead. So I thought it was related to the putting it in the monitor. Because when I woke up yesterday morning and it was doing my checks, I saw it, so I restarted it. I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't really care. I just wanted you to know, because nobody's really watching. That's all. I did find that mystery text. I sent it to Fred TV instead of Fred. That's why one of the guys, I forget who, got in there and said, wrong channel, question mark. Said, yep. So I copied it and pasted it directly to you. The question about the IP addresses. I pasted it to you a couple days ago, so no rush, but just so you know, then they're looking for a couple of IP addresses.
Well, that explains it, because I muted Fred TV, so I'm like, I don't really need to see this, because I'm the one doing it, but yeah.
Okay.
Well, now we know that it's solved, and I did see your message, yeah, so we can locate here. We didn't leave up here till 10 o'clock last night. I stopped and got a pork sandwich at Culver's, because there was pretty much the only thing was that, and McDonald's or Taco Bell, and I've had Taco Bell the last 3 nights, so Michelle said, I can have Taco Bell. Michelle said, because Michelle came with me. She had a day off. She goes, if you want Taco Bell, you can have Taco Bell again. But I really would like Culver's.
Well, Taco Bell's okay occasionally, but if I had to do it 3 days in a row, I think I'd be a little done with it for a while. I got to go out to Lansing. Got the, I didn't realize that, but the interop is a week after interop. Like, that seems kind of silly. But off I go to do my CIB thing.
Yeah, you can't really go wrong with Culver's.
I know. I hadn't had it, and I don't remember when. There wasn't too many options in Lapeer at 10 o'clock at night. I tried their pork sandwich, and it wasn't bad. I think that it would do it with just mayo, maybe. Because they put, like, pickles, onions, and ketchup and mustard on it. And I'm like, you know, really, to me, a pork sandwich needs to be simple, butter or mayo, maybe, kind of thing. And, yeah, why wouldn't they want to make sure that the interop meeting was at the interop meeting with the interop meeting, like we do our OXCOM meeting? Because then they can't, you know, have another meeting about another meeting and schedule more meetings afterwards. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Yeah, that would have made too much sense. And Sean, I talked to Craig this morning. I know he's, so I knew his interop meeting was today. He said he's got to head out. I think he said he's heading about noon. I don't know. Well, it's on the triumphant return from staging in Elgin here. Just southbound to with the Albion on I-94. Left the hotel there about 4:30 Central, which was a good move with all the construction that's on 294 there. Even at roughly 5 in the morning, I wasn't stop and go traffic. Hey, John, WTPUT.
Yeah, traffic's always up there in Chicago. So, I understand. Okay, come on, get another buck, dude. We gotta get out of this lane. Thank you. Man. Anyhow, how did the staging go? What does this new base look like when it comes back around? And I'll have to see the pictures. No rush, though. I won't have any time to Google them. So, and Lapeer, is that the golf course up there? I'm thinking. There's plenty to do and eat in Lapeer, isn't there? That's a relatively established town.
It's the county seats, and most of the restaurants, well, it was Tuesday night, most of the restaurants were closing at 9 o'clock, so or 8 or 9. But, well. And no, Lapeer's one of the newspaper offices. Although I was at Oxford, the new golf course, we left there 8 o'clock. Yeah, I left the golf course about 8. Ran up to Lapeer, did the two things I physically had to do there, and then I was done. But golf courses are opening and 2 hours. It is 27 degrees out, and they want to open the freaking course up today at noon. And I'm like, both courses are opening at noon. I'm like, you guys are high. And Dan, if I knew you were over there, I should have had my sister drop a package off to you. She could bring it back this way. She's got some stuff for me. I just have to get it over here. She's too lazy to put it in the mail. Go ahead, Dan.
Oh, well. Lapeer. Man, it's been a long time since I've been in Lapeer. The last time I was in Lapeer was when they added encryption to the consoles. I had to add a couple more algorithms to the VPNs. That goes back a little ways. There are some good restaurants downtown. And Sean, yeah, I took some pictures. I'll probably drop a couple on Slack this afternoon. Yeah, that new the TPR base station. That's pretty wild, man. Conceptually, it's like the GTR six packs, but there's 12 channels per up to 12 channels per chassis. So you have 12 transceiver cards. And 6 PAs. Somehow, they've got the PAs able to do 2 channels. Real interesting arrangement they got there.
And just a FYI, Dan, I'm struggling a little bit to hear your audio. You're significantly down from Fred there. So I don't know how I compare, but it's a little tough, but clear, but sound. So you say 12 in Iraq times 2. So do you get 24 channels out of, or is it 6 devices makes 12?
That was going to be my question. Are you using 12 XDMA channels or not 12 PDMA but 6 FDMA?
But they only use 6 PAs. So there's 12, if you had 12 channels, there will be 12 transceiver cards, but there's only going to be 6 power amps. Not sure how they do that, but they're doing it.
Okay. So, there you go. Neat stuff. Fred?
So, 12 FDMA channels. Now, just not claiming any 12, you know, because you're doing TDMA, but 12 FDMA?
Yes, 12 FDMA. And I'm assuming that those channels will do TDMA as well. Yeah, the DBR series is the replacement for the GTR, which is, you know, what's in place everywhere in Michigan now. They just started shipping the DBR in December. So it's what's coming down the line. Eventually, they'll be everywhere. St. Clair County is going to have the first ones coming to Michigan. We're going to be ordering that equipment soon. Washtenaw County bought a 10-channel Foresight simulcast. It's going to be their backup system. And, you know, with a full core, that's what was staged out in Elgin.
Just hope we don't have another STR situation. It was, it didn't hurt us because remediation forklift them all out and forklift in GTR, so the STR debacle didn't leave a mark on us, but probably not. All right, anyhow, I got to jump out of here. I got some running around to do before I head west and get something to eat here. All that good stuff. Catch everybody in a bit. Fred, WAW.
All right, I'm just having my breakfast. trying to figure out what the hell I want to work on first this morning. I am tired. Well, I guess if you know it's going to be going into, so they're taking two RF inputs from the transmit channels and then combining it, is it still separating it out into two separate output paths, or is it doing the actual combining in the PA, and then you've got, you know, one output path into the combiner? WFSM.
Okay, catch you later, Sean. Somehow they're combining that in the PA, and so there's one single output from the PA into the combiner. And the new combiners that they're using in there, I'm not sure what the theory of operation behind it is, but it's not the giant, huge, you get to fiddle with the knobs. and get your peek on. I don't know, they're running like hybrid ring technology in this thing or what, but you know, it's just got six ports on it, and boom, they go into the ports, come out, and into probably like a big bandpass filter that you know, is capable of handling all the, you know, all the cumulative power. Very very interesting setup. But wait, it gets even more interesting. So the transceiver cards, 1 through 12, conventional wisdom, you think, hey, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, so on. No. You tell it how many channels it has, you know, 1 through X, what frequencies are assigned to those channels, and depending upon what's going on, it dynamically reshuffles transceiver cards. So while channel 1 might be on card 1, it also might not be on card 1.
Okay, now that makes my mind freaky, okay? Because then you're, well, I guess if you're not carrying on exact peak on the input, then you could move that around. So you could technically dynamically bring channels up in and out, and rotate and move them around so the load is spread out even more evenly. But, oh, my question. On the phase, is there a caveat that the input jumpers are all on the input side of that 6-port? That was my first question. Because if it is, then I've seen it where there's a phase system that does that. But you have to have the exact same lengths on the inputs of it for it to work properly.
Back at the pictures, I think they are all basically the same length coming out of the PAs. It's certainly not something that you're assembling in the field and making up cables and jumpers there. It's definitely a factory build. But yeah, it kind of gave was a shock to my brain as well. You're watching this, so when the staging engineer was explaining that there's nothing dedicated to a specific channel like that, you're like, what? So, part of the testing, they're disabling control channels and, making it so that we can, cause a system busy and, demonstrate queuing and stuff like that. And as he's, disabling channels in the grid, all of a sudden you see lights on the transceiver cards. They're like blinking all over, reshuffling, and you see control rolling around, moving into different spots. It's like, wow, that was kind of freaky cool to watch.
Oh, I bet. So there's a name for it. I've seen it. The one version I saw was a 2-port. Basically, it was like a quad, and it was a broadcast, but RF theory I can't remember the name of it. There is a book on it I saw that was, the manual for this thing, but you combined two RF transmitters. So you say you have two broadcast transmitters coming in, and then there was a dummy load and then the antenna output, and it took the phase, the inputs were equalized, matched, and as long as they stayed in phase, it changed the phase to combine the power. But then if you switch the phase 90 degrees out, it's how you switched between one RF transmitter and the other, so that it would then dump it to dummy or not, to how do I explain it? Anyways, but you had to have, the theory is because you're using phasing on it, they had to be the exact same level inputs from the exciters, or well, from the PAs, basically, on the inputs to it, and then it didn't care about frequency. It still had window filters, so like you had an upper and a lower limit, but it didn't care about anything else other than that.
Yeah, I'll bet they're doing something like that. That would make sense. Although it makes you wonder how shifting the phasing on that in a simulcast environment, if that affects your launch times and stuff like that with simulcast. Although at an RF frequency level, from that perspective versus audio, the phasing on that probably is, we'll say, an insignificant change, so probably might have no effect on in a simulcast environment. So it does make you wonder, though. And the question was asked, how about routine maintenance, alignment, and that? There isn't any. You program it, and it works until it breaks. There is no aligning. Even the non-simulcast stations, they have to have GPS to supply the reference. Speak to keeping all the transmitters phased for something like that. Oh man, there's like four deer standing right off the edge of that one ramp here, just coming into the Jackson area. W2PUT Mobile.
Yep, you needed the GPS they're using the GPS reference and all that anyway, so. I can't remember the name of the theory. The engineer was explaining it to me, And I just thought it was some black magic voodoo. You know, because, you know, broadcast engineers are a different breed than us, but it had to do with the phasing. I remember that's what stuck out to me was the phasing. And that's why everything, the lines all had to match on the inputs, or in the input side of it.
It had to match. It seemed like black magic voodoo because that's exactly what it is. You know, I consider myself reasonably educated on RF stuff, but man, that kind of theory is way beyond me. You know, you can understand, I understand it conceptually, but you know, you get into the finer points of it, and it's like, yeah, that's well over my head.
WFSM. Well, I guess in you wouldn't really on the simulcast side, if you're cookie cutter in these, your RF launches will be the exact, you know, should be the exact same between all your sites anyways. So you're still going to have, so any adjustments you make on time, you know, when you synchronize the timing between the sites, you at least know that as long as every RF is hitting the same port on the, you know, same time, tedious, the RF exciting time out to the port, to the antenna is going to be the exact same at every site. So any adjustment you would still probably treat it just like you would anything else for your launch.
I was going to say about it, but I was paying attention to where I was at and a couple of cars that were around me, and then they kind of evaporated there. I think I'll hop off at 127 south and then shoot over to Saline the back way. I want to hit the new Bigby and Napoleon, try that out. Getting close to coffee time here. But yeah, you know, you have to adjust your launch times now. Well, you know, actually, now everything pretty much, there isn't really much for you to adjust. It pretty much sorts it out itself. You know, it's all automated now. Oh God, I remember the olden days of doing analog simulcast. Man, oh man, you had to get out the calculator. Figure out how many microseconds it was between sites and where you want your overlap zone to be. So you'd adjust your timing based on where you wanted the center to be. Because you could actually steer that based on timing. Because it's always going to sound worst at the center point of the overlap in analog. And then you had to take a service monitor and a scope and generate the test tones and analog delay lines, measuring it all over the air, counting for the per seconds of delay for it to get back from the transmitted site. You know, it was kind of like adjusting audio the old way with tunable PL decoders. You know, the rolling coin with the test tone, you had to adjust the microseconds till the circle stayed in place. Man, that was a lot of work too at optimize analog simulcast back in the day. It was fun, but at the same time, I don't miss doing it.
No, hey, get off my microphone. Come on, sit over here. Come on, hold on. Someone's,
Why?
Are you happy now? I had a phone desk to her phone sitting on the chair and she's kind of sitting in her normal spot, so I just moved it so she could. There you go. Make your biscuits and your biggie. The good old days. Alright, it's 10, almost 10:30. I should make this phone call to her. Our controller is retiring. We're having her retirement party next Thursday. And she sent me an email saying, I need to make sure I got all my aliases transferred over to, the, you know, to her replacement. We're not getting a new controller, we're getting a new, or her assistant basically is taking over all the bookkeeping payroll tasks. So we're kind of taking one person and they're getting split into two, but she sent me an email this morning, so I should probably call her and tell her she can't retire. She's not allowed to retire, not ready for her to retire yet. Safe driving back, WFS.
Okay, Fred. Hey, good chatting with you this morning. Maybe I'll sit here for a little bit. W8FSM, WTP, UT Mobile, near Jackson.
N8IAJ.
N8, was it IHA? From W2P, UT Mobile.
Negative. Call here is N8IAJ, November 8, Indigo Alpha Juliet.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. There's just enough road noise before when it was on the expressway. I can hear you. Well, good morning. Name here is Dan. Just hopped off of 127 here around Jackson. Was out in the out west of Chicago for work and making my return trip to Milan here.
Very fine business. I haven't been to Milan, boy, probably like forever. I've been there for the dragway, which was obviously still a thing. Yeah, we're just here in Farmington Hills, day off today, and I decided to try to, being I got the day off, it's time to really clean out my, ham area and music area. It's just stuff strewn all over the place, so. And I had to incorporate a new power supply for my station and incorporating a couple extension speakers and all that. So I'm just making the most out of my morning to clean up my hobby bench, so.
Okay, well, good for having a day off. It's nice to have, and yeah, more power to you. If you can do it without getting sidetracked by something shiny, that's my problem. I work on cleaning up the radio desk downstairs, and you come across, you know, whatever thing, you're like, oh my gosh, I forgot about this. And, you know, an hour later, you know, the cleaning impulse is gone, and you've only just made the problem worse. So you wind up shifting somewhere else and just kind of spreading the mess. My desk, you know, hobby desk and workbench organization skills are, well, at least something to be desired. I work at home, so my work desk, though, no problem, man. That's nice and neat. It's a functional environment. Very little clutter. But, yeah, my hobby areas, oh, yeah. I've never been able to keep them organized. We did some furniture rearrangement in the basement a couple years ago. And, the DC was disc has been not functioning for going 2 years now.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's what you need to do to, you know, to clean up. Yeah, it's hard for me to focus as well. I look at everything, and then I see a shiny red ball, you know. I'm all over the place, so I'm trying to, you know, advocate for my own self to clean up this horrendous mess that I got all over the floor here. I mean, it's not terrible, but you know what? I got to have a little bit of pride in, you know, having a clean play area. So it is what it is. We'll find business. Be careful on your trip. I'm glad the snow's gone and you don't have to really fight on 94, you know, with the snow and such. But, yeah, I hope your trip is safe.
Yeah, we got pretty good weather this trip. You know, I headed out Monday morning. You know, we had to go to Elgin, which is west of Chicago. I worked for Motorola, and we had a system staged out there. And, you know, the Monday drive was great. We were at staging yesterday, and I had planned for 2 days out there because I wanted the techs to be able to familiarize himself with the equipment before we had to do the acceptance testing. But I kind of rolled familiarizing with it into the acceptance testing. We got done in a day, so I got to all of us got to come home a day earlier. But yeah, outside of a little bit of traffic chaos around the Chicago area, it's been really been a pretty good drive. I left the hotel there about 4:30 Central, because you know they're on Central there. And even at that, the one construction area, had a few minutes of stop and go traffic. Like, I was glad I left as early as I did, because on my way into town on Monday, I saw that area looks like when I was heading into town. I go, oh man, I better make sure I leave early when I leave, because that it was backed up miles and probably 5-6 miles. It was backed up. You know, this morning I know it was backed up maybe 3/4 of a mile, which really wasn't bad, but timing is everything out there. So yeah, I decided I would take the more scenic route here. We frequently do this, hop off of 94 at 127 in Jackson, and take one of the back roads, cross through Napoleon, you know, kind of graze the north side of Brooklyn and into Manchester and Saline, and you know, drop down into Milan. Honestly, it's only like 5-6 minutes longer than staying on 94. Much nicer drive.
Yeah, fine business. NAIAJ. Well, that's good. And, yeah, driving around Chicago. I only visited Chicago going by train and got there from Detroit to get to Chicago. I'll never do that again. It just took forever. You know, stop at every stop and 12 hours later to finally get there. But at least it was the experience of being on the train. I'll say that. But as I saw all the traffic in Chicago, holy moly. Yeah, no. And so I'm glad you have the patience to do that. All right, my friend, I'm going to back out of here. I'm going to continue on my work here because I don't want to get distracted and see shiny red ball. So, 73, pleasure talking with you. And hope to meet you down the Lawnbrook again. This is N8IAJ. I'll be clear and monitor after you.
Okay, well, hey, nice making your acquaintance. Good luck with your cleaning up project there. Your timing is good because I can see where I'm going to be stopping for my coffee here. We're just rolling into Napoleon. Right now we're on 50, but not much further ahead. I'm 50 splits off and continue east on another road. They opened up a new big beach. coffee here, so we'll try that out. N8IAJ, W2PUT Mobile, 73.
KAK, EPL, Mobile and Monitoring.
WAFU, KABB.
KABB from WAFU.
I hope I did not pull you from anything important. Just wanted to do a reality check on this microphone and see if it was too breathy, or if I take it apart and come up with a better solution. Per Dave's observation a few weeks ago that I was excessively breathy.
No, I wouldn't say so. Sounds good. Sounds like you. Sounds pretty accurate. I don't hear anything puffy or no syllabus or anything like that. It seems okay.
Okie dokie. Well, I won't mess with it too much. I was hoping for a little better improvement before and after, and it didn't seem to do much of anything, but I've also been holding it slightly different, so that's helpful as well. Boy, the roads are terrible. Jeez. Potholes everywhere. All right, that was about it. Didn't mean to pull you away from anything. Just wanted to check with someone who knew what I usually sounded like.
No, in fact, you caught me just walking out of Toast, Ferndale. I'm just now getting on to 696 at Woodward. So, heading to Lansing.
Ah, very good. I love Toast. I like that place. Yeah, I had an early morning business breakfast with a colleague this morning in Royal Oak. We were at Cafe Muse, which is nice. I got good food there. It's a little pricey. That's good stuff. And actually headed back to Pontiac for an appointment, now going yet back to the office. It's one of those days I will wear a rut in Woodward.
Well, there you go. I just got to be out to Lansing. Got to be there by 2. Meeting could go as long as 4. Hoping since last week I was in Muskegon for the conference that this board that I sit on throws. I don't know why we had our conference last week and now we have a meeting this week, but it is what it is. Or we could have had it last week while we were all there. But Anywho, heading out there. Should be back a little later. Nothing exciting. There is a guy, I think I showed you a picture. I sent you a picture of a 104. Kind of like the entry level on the Marantzes. Guy's in Dearborn, and I'm half tempted to swing by his place. Part of me wants to swing by his place on the way out. Part of me wants to wait for the one I want, the 125. So, man, I've never been done well when I wasn't patient.
You're good at being patient. So, yeah, I might wait that one out. But there might be something else that comes on the radar that may not necessarily be that. Although I know the gyroscopic tuning's nice. And I know you said that it was something that always appealed to you, even from youth. So it might be worth trying to find a 125. I could not tell you if those have not been on my radar. So I just couldn't tell you if they're common or if they're unusual or if they're just, you know, wait around and one pops up. No clue.
Kind of pretty common. The 104 was, you know, one of the entry-level ones, and then they had a 105, and 110s, 112s, and they all were different series. There's a lot of them. The Holy Grails, the 10 and the 20 and the 20B, those are considered, you know, a real find for anyone. Their tube, and the 20 in particular had not only was it two, but it had the gyroscopic tuning, and the gyroscopic tuning, and I think that one also had a tuning scope, and it was a older tube base, so that one's kind of a holy grail. I mean, they're not exorbitant. You know, would I rather have a Max? Sure. There's a couple others too, but going for as much eye candy on this piece as I am for performance. Well, it's got to have the performance, but it's also the wow factor. That's the only thing keeping me away from that Sony we talked about, is it's very functional. If I just wanted something to get the job done at the best possible price, that'd probably be it, hands down. Just hide it somewhere that the remote can see.
Yeah, it's not real pretty. You know, I wouldn't overlook, it's a completely different animal. You know, the Kenwood, I think it was an 8300 was kind of their, I don't think it was their Holy Grail tuner, but it was kind of their top of the line from that series. I think what separated that one is it had 3 meters, I don't know, it might have like a 5-gang FM tuner or something like that for... But it had switchable, you know, IF selectivity, and again, there was the tuning center meter, there was the deviation meter, and I think there was like the signal strength meter, and then I think there was a third, like a deviation meter, or, you know, switchable to AF, you know, level or something like that, so you can calibrate for taping. That's a nice, so every now and then I see one of those, and I'm like, oh man, that's a good looking tuner too, but it's got that silver, you know, that late 70s silver thing going on.
Yeah, I've actually ran across a few of those in my dabbling, so I am familiar with that. And it is a handsome piece, so it would fit in. But yeah, I don't know. Probably just wait for the right. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just be patient. Wait, the right opportunity will arise. I'm pretty flexible on what. I mean, given my, you know, if I'd have a Mac, if I could have my choice, you know, that'd probably be the way I'd go. But, again, there's plenty of other ones that, you know, they look good. You just do a quick check, and they weren't dogs. I mean, it's a tuner, for God's sakes, right? So, if it's sexy looking and wasn't a complete dog, then the price is right, I'm there.
Yeah, I will be curious to see what you find. Hey, Mark, NADIHA, KDDB.
just been a shack. I'm cleaning like crazy, trying to spiffy up the place and pick up after my 5-year-old self. And I just want to say hi.
Oh, Mark, I heard you earlier saying you got the day off. I am, I'm heading out to Lansing. I'm going right by your house right about now. Well, I'm probably still a little bit east of you, but I might get off there at Orchard Lake and grab me a Starbucks for the drive if I don't wait and do the one at, Wisham Road or even wait and do the one at Brighton, but I think I'm going to do the one here at Orchard Lake. I don't know. Because I got the long haul ahead of me. And then coming home, I got to decide what I'm going to do. I'm looking at the eastbound lanes, and, you know, even though it closes down by, I don't know what, Telegraph or wherever the hell it shuts down, they're shutting lanes down as far. I'm already almost Orchard Lake, and the lanes are already shut down. I ain't going to go anywhere near this on the way home. So we shall see what my travels bring. Enjoy your day off, though. That's always nice, right? Don?
Yeah, I'm remembering now. Wednesday is Mark's day off. Good shack cleaning. I was gonna stop at Starbucks, too, on the way back to the office here. The office coffee is just not great. It's okay. But if I'm out and about and driving by a coffee beanery of good reputation, I will sometimes get a cup instead of drinking office coffee. But I'm snobby and bougie like that. Anyway, Mark.
Yeah, Roger that. I already had, this morning I already had like 3 cups of coffee. Is unusual, because I usually have just 1 cup here at the house, but that's all right. I'm doing, and helps get me in and keep going as I'm going. Yeah, I mean, the desk looks a lot cleaner. And yeah, I like Starbucks too, but, you know, it's very rare now that I ever have an opportunity to go hit Starbucks. So, kudos to you. You know, I like their bowl, and, sometimes I like their iced coffee. The iced coffee is good. I try to replicate it at home. And not as good as how they do it. But that's just me. Sean.
The coffee beanery sounds good. I do Starbucks because they're easy to find. But I am at 12 in Orchard Lake right now, just about to go to the Starbucks. Mark, do you know of anything right around here that's good for espresso-based drinks and not Starbucks?
I'm just pulling into Starbucks here in Royal Oak, so I'm going to jump out, and I'll catch you guys in a minute. K8BB.
I can't think of a place that's going to have, other than if you want to fly up to 15 Mile, Maple Road in Orchard Lake, and go hit that Matari Coffee, they'll make you espresso there, no problem, but, I mean, that's out of your way.
Yeah, I'm doing good, time-wise, but I don't want to necessarily go out of my way or anything. So, all right. Well, I'm going to go in here and get a Starbuckies. Hey, Scrambler's been there before. Chris is Einstein's. They're good for bagels. Wonder how they are for coffee. All right. I'm here. I will be back in a minute.
Fine business. I need an IHA.
I'm going to do the drive-through, so I ain't going nowhere.
Do you get to expense this because it's a business trip?
Hell no, we don't get to. I mean, if I'm actually like last week in Muskegon, I got a per diem. But this is just going to a meeting in Lansing. They don't pay nothing. Well, I mean, I'm driving their car and burning their gas. But other than that, I'm just on the clock.
Technically, you're burning our gas, not your gas.
Well, not really your gas. Dave's gas, yes, but not yours or Mark's or Don's. Dave, can I use your drop?
I guess I'll allow it.
Covered. Oh, man. I've been doing a lot of driving. I know Fred's probably rolling his eyes. Never mind. But Muskegon and Kalamazoo over the weekend. Lansing. Good grief.
I got your driving right here, big boy. I got a range for it, too.
You know, I might go by your place again tonight. We'll have to see. I'm either gonna do Highland to Pontiac, or I'm gonna do. We'll see how the time looks. But if it's the same as last week, I'll do the same damn thing. I'll take 69 in the Flint. Hey, Mark, what Ray video are you running? Are you working to Warren directly? With the radio from the house there?
The one I'm using right now is my 818, and I'm going through the Beers West repeated.
Oh, that's right. You'd be a lot closer to the 2.5. Hold on, I'm ordering.
I could switch over to All-Star, if that helps.
No, you're fine. It's just there's a little, like, fry in there. Not much. You're solid. And that's what caused me to think you were on RF.
Well, that's true. If I'm only running a half a watt right now, I could boost it. Let's see. All right, so now I got 6 watts out, QSL.
What in the hell is going on out here?
It's a party.
It's Sean's morning brew.
Hell. I'll be dipped. N8NM.
If we get more old cranky white guys on here, we're going to have to start a net.
You know,
anyway, hi, Steve. Hi, Fred. So I'm just going to jump in and say I got my coffee. I'll see you guys later. I'm almost at the office. KABB. Don.
Someone just was texting and I was trying to type at the same time.
Okay, I am next man up to the window. By my triple grande cappuccino, dry.
Before I go, what does dry mean?
It's just an empty cup. Now, they just use the minimum amount of milk product, wet and dry. Cappuccinos are supposed to have very little milk, mostly just some foam.
Hello.
Okay, I'm just not knowledgeable on the frou-frou drinks. All right, 73-CADB.
Sorry, they hit me up to pay. Yeah, it's the milk. I get the cappuccino because there's not supposed to be a lot of milk in the cappuccino. Lattes are the ones with, it's the difference between a cappuccino and a latte is, you know, the cappuccino has more foam, very little milk, and the latte has a lot of milk, little foam. And lattes are generally really heavy, a lot of milk products. And cappuccinos are not, but you got to watch. People have different opinions on how much milk goes in a cappuccino, so you can specify dry, and then you get you know, the minimal amount, maybe just foam and just a splash, which is what I want. I'm in it for the espresso. I'm probably due for a free one, so got to get myself one of them six-shot ventes I normally get. Steve?
Six-shot vente? You'll be up till August. Mark?
Alrighty, this one feels pretty good. I think they got it right. So, yeah, it can be quite hair-raising when I get them. When I get a little tingly, feels like the hairs are standing on my arm, that's when I know I had a really good one.
Yeah, I go by the sweats and the heart palpitations personally, but it's an acquired thing.
Everyone has to know their sweet spot.
Exactly. You know, it's just everybody's good at something. Everybody's a little different. And whatever.
Marky bought a new power supply. That's why he's playing hooky. He's not really playing hooky, but he's off today and he's cleaning up his shack because he's putting a new power supply in line.
Hey man, it's part of the hobby, you know. Got to make things, well, my room was a freaking sty, so, you know, when you got the day off and you're looking at something and you don't have anything pressing that the house needs, this is when I jump in to get stuff done, and it's definitely needed. But power supply, it's working out well, so I'm happy with the setup. And I did find the spot for my center channel speaker to sit for my extension audio on my HF rig. So that worked out beautifully.
I have an inflatable tiger on the floor of the shack.
Are we adding a tiger to the zoo?
I've had them since last year. I just break them out for special occasions. And this weekend's the annual, I guess they call it the bazaar, but it's like the subdivision sale.
Wait, are we buying a zoo?
Steve started a thing down there at his snowbird community down in Florida, where he gets a bunch of inflatable animals, monkeys, pigs, cows. He sets them up in there was a vacant lot. Now it's become kind of a thing in the community Facebook page. They're all like, oh, they're back, or they're here, they're there. And so he sneaks around every night and moves the cows and the pigs and everything.
So retirement's going well for you, Steve?
Far more rewarding than anything I ever got paid to do. I got like I think it's a 67-inch monkey coming tomorrow. That'll be cool.
That's a big monkey.
I'm glad my wife can't hear this, because she'd be asking you for where you get all your stuff, because I have a feeling if she had the option, there would be that crap out in my front yard.
Well, see, I got that figured out. I put it in other people's yards.
Do you think anybody, there's got to be people know it's you, right? I mean, I'm sure by this time.
Oh, yeah, but nobody's talking. They won't rat me out.
Lest you be swimming with the fishes.
Murph's got a whole, like, crew of people. He's kind of like, nobody talks about it, you know? Forget about it.
I do. I have a zoological society, I call it. But, yeah, I have co-conspirators. Started last year when it came home, and I think that was the tiger somebody left for me. It was still in the box, never been inflated. I'm like, cool, got a tiger. Oh, no, the monkeys were the first to show up, the three of them, but they didn't make it past the house painting up front. Nobody knows what happened to them. I fear for the worst.
Now, are these powered, like the power inflatables, or are they like you inflate it once and pray it stays inflated?
They're basically pool toys, I think. I don't know. I it's hard to imagine why somebody would make such a product, but I've bought quite a few of them, and they're pretty reasonably priced. They're usually like $10 an animal or so.
Okay, so it's not like, the ones I see around here are the ones where they're like always, they gotta have a power cord and all that running to them.
Nah, I got a little pancake air compressor that I use for maintenance. If I charge it up and then head out, I can blow up all the animals before the tanks run dry. Provided they're just low, and obviously it's not going to inflate them from nothing, because the pancake is a pancake after all, and it is limited by its pancake-edness.
It's pancakiness. I think Mark checked out, not sure.
Mark, did you check out?
I guess no answer is a confirmation. But so the pig that showed up, is that somebody else getting in on the game? I thought I got the impression from your post that somebody else is getting in on the game that you're not aware of.
I heard a rumor like around Christmas time that there was a big pink pig down here. Found it. And like the last couple of nights, all my animals have been kind of over on that corner giving the pig the stink eye. It ain't been him.
WFSM. Can't figure out where. Oh, there is a document. Damn it. Doing too many things at once.
60 miles to Lansing. Boop, boop.
What's in Lansing? Well, I mean, what are you going to Lansing for? I know some of what's in Lansing. Probably I don't know everything that's in Lansing, but, you know, what are you going to do?
A meeting at Diamonddale, the interoperability board.
Isn't that at 1 o'clock? You're going to be late.
2 o'clock, which bugs the hell out of me. I got to drive out here in the afternoon. Now, I'm not going to get home till after 6 because of, you know, it's an hour and a half drive. If everything's smooth, but at 4 o'clock, it ain't smooth. So it's like, can't they make it in the morning? I don't know. 2 to 4.
Oh, after 6, you want me to play your little, violin?
I need hugs. This is not right.
I'm sending you a hug over the radio. Do you feel the warmth?
I'm feeling something. I don't know if I'd call it warmth.
From earlier, prostate problems. Do you know, I'm drawing a total blank on his last name, but there's a guy at the RPU I used to work with. Great guy. His name's Chuck. And, I don't know, he's maybe my age. He had a beard. But, do you ever run into Chuck, if you know who the hell he is?
That does not ring a bell. But I haven't worked directly with the RPU in a number of years. But, you know, mostly I got Todd. Todd was always my guy. Now Todd doesn't do that stuff anymore. He's the council guy. So he just does all council configs. So I still talk to him all the time, but I don't. I think, who the heck is Bruce using now? But it wouldn't have been anybody when you were doing it. So no Chuck rings a bell, except W-A-8-Z. That Chuck.
Honestly,
I don't
know the job anymore because he's
of course,
gone.
Chuck
might be gone. I think it might have been a different universe. I think he did like the non-Motorola stuff, the weird stuff. But great guy. Super, super cool to work with, even though I know I brought him a bunch of stuff that probably drove him nuts.
Yeah, Fred, he would have been the Harris RPU guy, so that's why none of us probably know.
Yeah, I was gonna say I have 4 different people I worked with there. I have never had a Chuck. Chris is about as close as it gets. And I've dealt with Kenwood and I've dealt with Motorola. Yeah, no one deals with Harris because, well, it's Harris.
Exactly. And he did Johnson's for me once because I sent him Johnson.
Was it a big black Johnson?
It really, just between us, it wasn't all that big.
So, speaking of Harris, crew from Milwaukee was there, and they were putting on a presentation on the RNC. Oh my God, what a cluster F. That was just, at the end of it, they said, so in summing it all up, all we can say is if they ever come ask you to do something like this, just say no. And honestly, everybody just kind of went, yes, no. But, you know, they pulled it off. But here's the interesting part. I pulled the guy aside afterwards because I had lots of questions that weren't really appropriate for the greater conference. But they're all Harris. They've got an open sky system. It's a 4-slot. 30 channels, so they've got 120 talk paths in a 4-slot open sky, and they're tickled pink. They just they're now open sky is no longer, so they they're readied to upgrade anyhow, but they're moving to a full P25 system, and I think they said simulcast, but they're going all Harris, so they are Harris fanboys.
Wow, and that was kind of a bloody project when it went in, too. So, well, I guess they can make it work right.
What was the apparently so. With this, you know, they're doubling down and gotta go P25. Of course,
they were just gonna give me more blink checks.
Not half, but much of the issues with open sky is the way they do things. You know, it's simply going to P25 will probably solve some of the issues.
Yeah. The biggest problem we had with open sky, they didn't, you know, we were, I think, probably the first real deployment of it in a voice system, and they tried to deploy it like conventional LMR, and it's more of a cellular thing where it likes a lot of sites close together. Otherwise, weird stuff happens and you get no coverage. It takes about 10 dB more signal, you know, MDS on the ground to really work reliably than P25.
So one thing that still puzzles me is the way they, with the frequency reuse they do, and, you know, you might have a small site that only has, you know, 6 talk paths or something, and, you know, and then you'll reuse those frequencies elsewhere. So not all sites have, you know, all channels. Some have a lot, some have a few, some have very few. So what I wonder, and what the part that puzzles me, is what if there's a guy, and I don't know if affiliation in an open sky system is even a correct word, but let's say there's a guy affiliated with a tower that has, you know, a very limited number of talk paths. And then he gets, you know, and then that site fills up. And so he's not available. And then somebody makes a call on his talk group somewhere else in the system that has plenty of ample capacity. How does that work?
It really, it's not that complicated. We had 4 and 8 talk path sites. Let me turn this other radio down. It's confusing me here. And, you know, theoretically, there's 2 ways you could set it up. You could set up a transmission where it requires an acknowledgement back from each unit, which is obviously going to be cumbersome. We just blast it all out there, and it would show up as a busy, but the call would go through on the other sites. And in the real world, the amount of time for each transmission, there's like no overhead almost, and almost never saw busies from it. Like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, see, on a P25, if I have a guy affiliated with a small site, and that site's tapped out for some reason, and then my normal subscribers are carrying on, you know, they'll get busy. They won't be able to talk because there's a guy that can't get the call because he's on a little tower that's busied out. So that'll busy out my, even if I've got a very ample, you know, my system's, my particular build-out, my site is you know, I got 20 channels and, you know, about 8,000 subscribers. It works out really, really nice, even with roaming and everything like that. I got plenty of capacity until one of my guys roams over to, let's say, St. Clair or Central Consortium, and then, you know, if a call has to get to that guy and he can't get it, the system will busy everyone out. You know, because if any one person can't get it, so in yours, it would send the call out. Everybody would get it except for the one guy in the busied out tower. Is that correct?
Correct, and it would show up as busy in the diagnostics with no indication that the call went out, but the call went out. And it really did work well because, again, in the real world, the way things were operating with the exception of, like, you know, the sheriff department maybe, or some of the ambulances where they cover the entire county. You know, if something's going on, most of the calls are going to be condensed to one or two sites, and there's, you know, that's
sites were designed for the local loading level, so it really was not a problem. Loading and busies were never a problem. But yeah, we discussed that quite a bit in the design phase, because one of the problems is a feature with OpenSky is that it's just like incredibly configurable, and I'm sure they know what they're doing now, but back when it first was new, there were very few people that really had that kind of knowledge to get in and set the things up right.
Right, right. And, you know, and I often wonder, you know, have we gone too far down the everyone must get the call path? It's like, do they really need to? I mean, if you've got one guy, if you've got, you know, a couple of hundred people out here doing something that need to hear some, or, you know, hear something, somebody has roamed off onto some, you know, very low capacity site that's timed out, wouldn't it be better to get 99% of your people the message and just the one would miss it? Just like good old days of radio. You never knew if somebody was going to get it or not. You know, they either did or they didn't, you know, and, yeah, so I don't know that that's necessarily, you know, the most prudent thing. That's what that's what we built for, you know. And but as a result, I have absolutely zero roaming onto Consortium. I won't allow any units to roam there, because if I do, you know, we'll busy them out, so bad for them, and then any busy that my guys roam and cause will, you know, manifest on my system. So, you know, so there's no roaming on Consortium, and we have to be very careful about St. Clair, but I guess they're adding some channels and stuff, so that alleviates some of that problem. Not enough problem to the north to really worry about, but I do worry about loading and things like that when your old alma mater is going to start, you know, pushing. So far we've been watching it. It's not bad, but, you know, I don't know that we fully, you know, explored all the possibilities of the border yet. We'll see.
N8NM. Yeah, I've been listening to the Dark Side since last summer, and kind of figuring out what they're doing based on where it was when I left. I noticed very few talk groups are carried over to, like, the Pontiac MPSCS tower site system, whatever, from the Oakland system. I think Auburn Hills was one that kind of surprised me.
Well, if it's anything like us, eventually they'll probably just pull that down. Hard to say. If it has any use. I don't know what's going to happen in Lakeville either. They've always had that one worked in, you know, configured into my footprint, which I get it. When we had the lighter build out to the north, we really counted on the St. Clair and that Oakland tower up there for that kind of stuff, but we don't need it anymore. I just do not have that stuff calculated in. I know when we were talking about closing up our microwave loop, they said, you know, well, we want to make sure we get those two towers in. I go, why? I could care less. You know, so I think I hurt their feelings. Oh, well. I don't know. What do we know about microwave, Fred?
Well, they need to keep those sites because not everybody's allowed on the simulcast. So, like, my reviews and our talk groups by default don't roam over there, so that's why when I'm in Oxford, I'm still, for some reason, getting Oakland, my handheld was still on the Lapeer simulcast cell, but sometimes I use Lakeville every now and then, but usually it's either Lapeer or Lakeville is the one that I'm usually getting on my prep when I'm in Oxford.
Oh, by the way, would you consider getting an upgrade from the XDSs that you've got to APX 6000ANs if some come available relatively soon. I just don't know if you can do anything with them. That's the problem. Which that's the part, you know, that's a killer is if the RPU won't do anything with them, then even if they'd be great, they're not.
I mean, we can do probably what we did like the last time with them, but yeah, I'm sure I could.
All right, let me, I'll ask, we're getting the N70s all finished up here in the next week or two. Once we get all the N70s doled out, I'll hit them up and ask them what they plan on doing with the 6K. And so there should be quite a few 6Ks. They're ANs, you know, so with that comes that caveat. But yeah, like I said, we could do like we did last time. And I think they just won't transfer them, but I think they'll upgrade the templates. So, anywho, I'll look into it.
Yeah, the 6000, I can still do full table or programming updates and all that on it. I just can't, and I should be able to transfer too if I need to, but we might just do what we needed to do before. I guess it also depends on what flash code is in them, but yeah, we can. The ANs just needed, there was a feature code that was different on the AMs though. But if they've already been on the system, they should already have that feature code in them. I want to say it was enhanced or in Channel Bank or something, I don't remember now.
Yeah, not sure. The other thing that's an issue is they'll be ADP and DES. I don't think they're going to have AES, so.
No, we're still on AEP, so it's fine.
Okay, here is T-Mobile.
The mobile with a Z in the call, go. Sorry, I didn't catch it.
Hey, Sean, how's it going, Fred? It's Ray, KC8SZT. Do you guys know anything about the old Motorola 1250s?
A little bit. I'm a fan, Fred.
I say, we got them all over the place, so I think some of us know something about 1250s. HT, GR, what's your poison?
The poison is I picked up about 5 of them for $20, but they're LXs or something like that. I don't remember. But anyway, I want to know if I can convert them to just a regular one because they're limited and they got trunking. I wanted to know if I could take the trunking out and get more zones out of them by doing that.
I don't know about the, is there a depot for that, Fred, that, you know, not saying anybody has it, but have you ever heard of there being a depot for that?
No. I know that, I think there's, even though there's trunking, if it's the handhelds, you still get like 16 conventionals, and I think that's what they're going to have. You're only going to get 16 conventionals out of the handhelds, if I remember right.
4891. All right, yeah, I wondered if I could convert them to get more memory, if I got rid of the trunking memory, if it would free up any of the firmware. Okay, sounds good. I guess they're still usable. All right, I'll let you guys get back at it. Thanks for letting me break in. Can you see it as a T?
Well, let's put in a trunking system, by golly. Wouldn't that be fun? We got enough frequencies, nobody's using them, so we need to add more capacity. Yay. Now, it's interesting. I don't know if there's something equivalent to depot that would allow you to, you know, turn that off or convert it over or something like that, maybe hardware related. You're out of my area of expertise. I did not see too many 12.
because it was. The ones I saw were just conventional, and I very much like them. I wish I would have had a lot more out there when everything went 800, but unfortunately we had the few that we did, gobbled them up, and no more. So, cool little radio. I was trying to get one for Jack. Roger? Go ahead, Fred.
So, since you said something, I got a message that I have access to some zone controllers and cores. So do we really want to spin up our own P25 trunking system? Because I'm thinking of building a portable one. How about we show up to Interop with our own site?
What, a UHF trunking system?
Well, it's the controllers in the zone, so we could make it whatever, quantifiers we put on it.
Yeah, that's going to be an issue there. How many, of course, just for proof of concept, we could, four channels or something like that. wouldn't that be crazy?
So I know where there's 600 or 700 900 quantifiers as well. So my, I'm like, oh no, we're gonna have our own site. Or wait, and then or at the same point, I'm like, well, why don't we just go? I know some. Oh wait, you had some was it GPRs? No, you had the old STRs. I'm like, we could even probably do the STRs with it.
Oh, you're talking about 800. Well, that's a whole other sticky kettle of fish and all that. You know, we'd have to get approved for frequencies and all that. The SDRs will not work out of far enough out of band to do 900. Those things were worthless. I mean, I had almost 200 of them things, in racks, and I'd pretty much just have to heave-ho the whole mess, take it to the curb. Just sickening.
Yeah, this is just the controller, the zone controllers, and the core. So you still got to put RF on it. And I'm like, well, shucks. If we got, a stack of 800 STRs, or quantifiers on 900, and just did an STA for the weekend, or whatever, we filled out an STA for a temporary, instead of having Ho likes to put his little porta feeder under the seat of his truck. We just roll in a whole site.
Yeah, I mean, that would be fun. I could see just the fun of getting it all together. We got enough crap to do, though. No, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole.
I know. I got the message through email yesterday that says, hey, I have this, and this. If you want it to play with, have it, because we could build our own trunking system with all of it. I'm like, oh, man. If I didn't have enough shit on my plate already.
Not only that, trunking was invented to solve a problem that we completely don't have. We've got so many open frequencies with no use of them. We link together dozens of repeaters, still barely have enough traffic. And so frequency, trying to be more efficient use of the frequencies is hardly a concern of ours. I mean, right now, if somebody wanted to talk here and they hear us talking, there's just about everywhere. There's a dozen other repeaters they could probably go to and carry on. So, I mean, trunking solves a problem we don't have at all.
I know that. It was more of a Yagi measuring contest, so to speak.
Well, absolutely. And it would be a ball. I'd love to do it just for, like you said, roll in with it. But I look at, even though you got the stuff, the work we have to put into doing that, it just seems, to me to be, is it worth it? I don't know. It'd be cool, though. There's no question about that.
pull down to Dayton and, you know, boom, Hose got it in the back of his truck. He, you know, puts up his portamass that he's got, and then we've got a 4 or 5 channel trunk system down at Dayton.
Now, you know, where something like that would be cool in a metropolitan area like here, you know, get together. Everybody's got, you know, frequency pairs and sites. You know, you get together with all the UHF people down here for the frequencies. You know, once you get 4 or 5, you know, 5 or 6 to buy in, you've got a system. And then, you know, you pick people that 5 or 6 are the best sites. And then those sites end up going live with all the frequencies instead of just theirs. And you know, I can see that working. You'd have to get like PLW and myself and you know, a few other people all down in this area that have multiple, like, in one band. I don't think anybody really has multiples in BHF, but there's a couple people that have some. Dan and PLW and myself, if we were all get together and have all of our frequencies at all of our sites, we could have a Southeast Michigan system to end all systems, and it'd be trunking. But here's the killer, the subscriber units.
Oh, yeah.
Never understood why nobody put P25 and wouldn't it be cool if Kenwood went P25? You know, they got the technology, they're putting out a lot of P25 radios. So instead of doubling down on D-Star like they did with that flagship radio theirs, why didn't they just be different and go P25, you know? I never understood why nobody has cashed in on P25.
I know. Nobody wanted it. But. All right. I got to go call into a 1 o'clock call. Have fun. Keep driving. I'll chat with you in a little while. W8FS.
Toodaloo. W8FU. Somewhere between Williamston and Lansing. What's the other one? There's another one before I get there. Oh, well. Dansville. Somewhere between Williamston and Dansville. That's it.
Yeah, Dansville. Brother Mikey. All right. Oh, yeah.
Named after the town's founder.
Sorry about that. What was that, Steve?
I said it was named after the town's founder, Dan.
Oh, I'm sure it was. Yeah, Dansville and then Williamstown. Danny's best friend was Billy. You probably remember him, but I remember a couple of times we were on some adventure that took us out west, and we'd be driving, and they'd see Williamstown and Dansville, and I said, hey, look, you guys both own cities out here. Ha-ha, they were little guys at the time. They, oh, yeah. So I didn't introduce them to Climax and Coldwater, but that was later.
Yeah, I let them figure it out on their own like the rest of us. You know what, I think you and I probably talked about this 40 years ago almost, but I always thought LTR would have been cool on the ham bands and useful, only if you had the EOS boards, of course, but had a lot of advantages, but no subscriber units. And then, like you said, nowadays, you don't need it.
Mr. Google just chimed in and said there are police reported ahead. so I'm going to be a good boy here.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice if somebody, you know, would come out with a UHF radio with P25 or something, or VHF, UHF radio with P25, you know, P25, and hold on, you got the radio. All right, I know I'm a ham and I can be talking on radio, but I didn't want to have to explain it, so I wanted to set the mic down as I was driving right by a Spady.
Yep, I do the same thing.
Although I'm in a marked vehicle, so I don't know. You'd probably put two and two together and not pull me over, but anywho, it's just a habit. Set the mic down. What was I saying? It'd be nice if somebody, you know, would come out with a P25 capable dual bander or something like that. First you build it, you know, the radio, and then people buy it, you know, and then people would be interested in seeing, you know, P25 systems go online, and, you know, then talk like this would be kind of cool. You know, it's like, hey, we could do, you know, we could do this, we could do that, and since there'd be a ton of them out there, you know, kind of like what happened with both, you know, all the manufacturers latched on the DMR. Now you can buy a DMR radio for as cheap as like $30, and they're everywhere. Everyone's got DMR, so, you know, so DMR is robust. Fusion somewhat. You don't have the cheaper buy-in with Fusion, but they went the opposite way. They made the infrastructure cheap, so everybody bought a Fusion repeater a few years back, and, you know, and then so now people are, you know, buying Fusion radios to, you know, to use them, and so Fusion remains the, you know, Fusion and DMR remain the ones to be in all but the most untypical situations. I think Alabama's really big on D-Star just because they got some sort of state funding to do a statewide system, so unless you get something like that going on, it's going to be DMR and or Fusion just because of the way the economics of it worked out.
Yeah, I remember Ron showing me the promotion that Yaesu was doing a few years ago on the repeaters. I don't remember the details, but I remember it was kind of a sweet deal. Yeah, really the cheapest way to get any sort of repeater on the air without building it yourself.
Yep, a lot of clubs seen it as an opportunity to upgrade their old hardware to something new, modern, state-of-the-art. They got to, you know, as long as you were a bona fide club and could prove it through whatever vetting system they had, they would send you a repeater for cheap or free. I can't remember what it was. I think it was just real cheap, $500 or something like that. I don't know. But these guys were getting repeaters, so everybody, you know, grabbed onto it. Hell, there were people that got one that, you know, just got the necessary credentials to get one. I think Don had one. WAAD Don, I think he got one under that deal somehow. So, yep. Let's see, I'm at 127, so I'm probably only about 20 minutes out. A little bit ahead of schedule. That's okay.
You know, I was never at that facility. I think it opened right around the last few months I was working. It was still Collins Road while I was going out there.
Yeah, the facility was there, but you wouldn't have been there for anything MPSCS related. They were Collins Road at that time, yeah. I like that facility a little bit, but this one's nice too. Hell, it's a ghost town now. Everybody works on the road or remotely. So it used to be I'd go there and then, you know, I'd go early and go upstairs and see the guys in the NCC still manned. All the guys are there, but see the guys in the NCC, go visit the guys in the RPU, check out, you know, see the guys in the engineering staff. So it was always a nice field trip whenever I had to come out here. But nowadays you walk through, hell, you have a hard time finding anybody who can there. So they're all working remote. So not quite as much, not as productive to come out early or stay late as it once was. But, yeah, they moved it. Probably, you're right, probably after, in fact, Warren's first system was, correction. Their first trunk system was 92. It was that analog one that you were familiar with. Then the 6809 based system. When they upgraded to a P25 system, the state was courting them, but at the time the state was, it just didn't work, you know, the way they needed it to, so they did their own. So you were gone a year or two, and it started off, that project started off at Collins, and it ended at Diamonddale. So, yeah, so you would have been gone a couple of years.
I remember it was starting to show up in, you know, some of the addresses or, you know, contact information on people, but just the only reason I remember it is I remember thinking, where the hell is Diamonddale?
Yeah, that campus and that facility has been there for quite some time. I've been there for some... other stuff. I think I took, I think I had ICS training there. I remember Inspector Legree from Roseville and I ran out there. He was a hoot. I think he passed away. But he and I blasted out there for a 3-day incident command school. So, and then of course, you know, the recruits were always there, so it's kind of cool. But yeah, the MPSCS stuff had moved over there for a while. Yeah. Yep. Anywho, enough on all that. I gotta figure out where I'm going. I'm gonna take a peek at my map here, set the microphone down.
Very good. I don't know if somebody's fixing to mow their lawn here, but if I disappear, it's because I have local audio QRM N8NM.
Looks like I got 7 minutes to go. I'll quite a bit ahead of schedule. So, one of my favorite little gun shops is right down the street. MPS. I might go poke around there. Actually, my favorite one is just up around the corner, a couple of miles. I could make that one, but there's a real danger I buy something every time I go to that one. So, and I've been a bad boy. It's my own version of March Madness.
Yep. Oh, well. Hey, whatever. You can take it with you.
More than likely, it'll be the kid's problem. But the stuff I'm doing now, I have no doubt that either Megan and Dan or Daniel will be happy to have it. So that stuff transfers over fairly well. The radio stuff, not so much. You know, I know my son-in-law is very intrigued by it all. He wants to get his extra just so he can make sure he gets my call before, you know, after I'm gone. And he says, you know, and that way he can hold it for Max because Max will get his. And I go, yeah, but I have not seen any interest out of them to actually do that. You know, it'd be great. I know Danny's not going to, I mean, and that's my fault. That's not their fault. You know, I never really, you know, had him down in the shack, you know, sitting on my lap talking to Santa Claus or they're just BSing and all that. It's a hard sell anyhow to the younger generation without me dragging them out to field days and contesting and all those other things. If you're not going to do that, take them out to, you know, when we're doing tower work and antenna work and enjoying the
camaraderie of that. You know, since I've never really had them out on any of those things, they don't see the value. You know, they don't see anything. So my son-in-law, as much as he's expressed a real interest in making sure. Well, then anyone will make the necessary steps.
Roger. You switched cell sites. You must be on your little noty duty.
I am on my little cell, my little node, my clear node, and I am at my exit, Lansing Road. I don't know why I would have bounced. This is not terribly rural. So there is nothing around here, though. This is like, there ain't nothing over here. I think there was a Harley dealer. There still is. Or is there? Nope. Looks like a for sale sign. No, they're still there. Looks like there's a Harley dealer and a Polaris dealer and a couple of fast food joints but in a motel, but honestly, there's almost nothing right here.
You know, it seems like there used to be a barn in Williamston full of Harley Hummers.
Is that where that was? That was a hoot, man. I couldn't believe how much crap that guy had. And I think all that stuff you had chromed, I think that you gave me, I think, I don't know if I can recover it or not, but I think I allowed to deteriorate significantly in the great garage bugaboo of the decade. So I don't know. I'll have to see. I've got it all put aside. I lost a lot of stuff, you know, that it's not the end of the world, but it's just like, damn it, you know. Probably the biggest one is I want a turntable, and I'm coming to find out that my father-in-law had a turntable that, you know, we're talking audiophile grade turntable that I just let completely get destroyed. And I'm like, you know, this is like a big deal turntable. I'm like, are you kidding me? Would have preferred not knowing I had it.
Yeah, no kidding. That's like finding out that you flushed a winning lottery ticket down the toilet or something.
Yeah, I've misplaced the photo or the picture of it that told me what it was. And so maybe I won't be in a hurry to find it, so I don't have my soul crushed. Okay, I am at MPS. Where do you go in? I think you go in the back here. I'm going to run inside and see what kind of crap they have there. This is the strangest place. I'll be back in a few. W8FU.
Sure, N8NM. Kilo Foxtrot, 8 Bravo Papa Alpha, Mobile Monitoring.
K-E-8, are you 8?
Yep. Yep, it does.
on, man?
Not much. Don't want to do work. So I figure I'd talk.
Yeah, I don't mind these 4 o'clock days, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, which repeater are you on? Are you on the 500?
No, I was on Warren. I just switched to UMP. Oh my God, the funny thing I'm watching right now is one of the new electric Dodge Chargers or Challengers or whatever getting towed.
Used a little too much battery power.
Right on the side of Hall Road, I keep reading all these things online where, like, every article, like, dealers are screwed. They cannot get rid of these things, and I'm starting to see why.
Yeah, all the Teslas are selling like crazy. I don't understand why. I'm not sure why I understand why folks will buy them, because I see, like, videos of people with the Cybertruck, and, for example, and, like, just to get service on them, they have to wait a month out or something like that.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know if they don't have the infrastructure or what. Give me one sec, I gotta take this call. All right, DBS.
Yeah, feed us.
All right, I'm back. I need DBS.
Welcome back.
Anyone on the whole road, there are cops everywhere, so heads up on that whole deal.
Was this for the Charger or what? You said there was cops out there, or are they just watching traffic?
No, between Hayes and Shaner, there were 2 cops with 2 cars pulled over.
Well, good. There's a lot of crazy people driving out there. Some of them deserve to be pulled over. Most people are doing the right thing. It's just like you get these people that get impatient, swerve in and out.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the warmer weather or what, but I feel like the last week or two, traffic has been way worse as far as just the amount of people on the road, it seems like.
Yeah, everybody hibernates in the winter, and they, yeah. I believe it. I mean, the warmer weather gets people out more. Even I've been driving a little bit more, so that's probably what it is. It's going to be 67 on Saturday. I'm not ready for it. Not ready with all my stuff for POTA. I got parts to come in the mail.
So you're running the 705?
Yeah, I mean, I can do other things. I was just like, you know, I'm like putting together the 705. I'm going to try a smaller amp and a smaller tuner, and then that way I can leave them all in the case, and it'll be lighter than that big monster that I got. And I'll have to figure out what I want to do with that big monster, if I want to sell it or... maybe I'll hook that up at my desk. I don't know, but yeah, I want to go more of a modular method where if I'm just listening, I can just take the 705 out. If I'm using a compromised antenna, I can bring the tuner out. If I want more power, I can do that. I can mix and match.
I agree. I really like that flexibility and functionality. Mine, I kind of married the tuner to the radio right now. It's got the special brackets for it and all that, and it kind of clips in. But it's still not that big of a package. But again, I really do like the idea of just the 891, stuff in a bag and a wire antenna, throw it in a tree, and like that's kind of it. But I'm with you. I think less is more, and the quicker you can get everything out and set up, the better.
Yeah, I even found on Amazon, they have like, and I know I could make this cable myself, but
but they already had one. It was like $14. It goes from one power pole and it splits into three different wires, so you can plug in three different things. They go, that's perfect. You have one for the 705, one for the tuner, and one for the amp, and then it's all one cable. It was either that, or I was going to get a power block, and the little power blocks are more expensive. They're like $32 for and I might still do something like that later, but initially I just need like one cable that I can plug three things into, and then that way I only plug one thing into the battery.
I've looked at those distribution blocks many times, and I cannot believe how expensive they are. I wanted to put one in that battery box, and I ended up just buying a Y cable to run the two ports that I have on the outside of it. So what amperage, are you going to have different batteries for different types, or are you just going to run with like a 15 amp and call it a day?
Yeah, I'll just use that one bio, you know, that I have. I don't remember if it's 15 or 12. I think it's 15. And I'll just keep that in my case. But yeah, even that could be modular, right? If I'm not going to be doing 50 watts, I'll just bring this battery instead and, you know, even make it even lighter and stuff like that. But more than likely, I'll probably always bring the 15 with me.
I mean, it's better to err on the side of caution, but I'll tell you what, when I was using like a 705 or that 6100, I would bring my, I think it was a 4.5 amp hour, and it was awesome because I get 10 watts out of it. It was plenty of juice to get me through an activation, and I never killed it, and it weighs nothing. Like, I could fit the thing in my pocket. So I do miss that setup, but I know that with, you know, the change in conditions coming, that QRP is probably going to be out of the question.
Yeah, we're still midway through and going down, so it's not gonna, it's still gonna be a year or two or whatever. But you know, you'll still be able to use the radio. I mean, especially the 705, it's got the UHF VHF in it. I mean, even by the next solar cycle, you know, there's gonna be something better anyways, and all that stuff. So, but I figure this thing's not being used, I better find a way to use it. So. Just a little bit of investment, and then I can get back. I also bought, I've been looking at it for a while, and I just pulled the trigger on it. It's that Podaflex stuff from Messi and Poloni. They give you a little winder with it, too, and that will be useful as well. I needed to replace my coax, and yeah, I could, once again, I could just get my own coax, put the connectors on, but it's already done and it comes with a winder.
I haven't tried any of that Messi and Poloni stuff, but I know it's supposed to be pretty damn good. I do really enjoy making my own cables. I think if I make any more, I'm going to bite the bullet and order the stripper for it. DXE makes a stripper that, like, you just clamp on it and twist, and it strips everything in the right spot to the right length. It's awesome. Like, you do that, and it's ready to put the crimp on. I've been doing it all manually with, like, small electronic snips and a razor blade, so it's not the most convenient thing, but I do like making it because it's so much cheaper. I think a six-pack of crimps is, like, $30, $28, and then the cable is, like, 60 cents a foot, maybe. So, I don't know. I don't really compare it, but I know it's pretty substantial in savings, but it's nice, too, because then I can make exactly what I need. Like, my antenna outside, it was a weird length. It was, like, 4 feet I needed. I made my own cable for that. Same for in my shack, so to speak, at my desk. I had a custom length I made for plugging in from a wall plate that I put into to the radio and then the coax. It's just convenient, but I agree. If you can get some Messi, that's probably the way to go, especially for POTA, because it's not like it's got to be any set length.
Yeah, this stuff was like 50 feet, which I thought was a little long, but like I said, it's in a winder, so you can just wind out as much as you need or as little as you need.
And I'm not sure if the coiling is going to affect the HF, so I mean, I'll have to try it. Because it would be really nice if I could just leave it in the, you know, just take out as much as I need. Kind of like how you do with extension cords. But I have a feeling the coiling is going to do something, so I probably have to unravel it all.
Yeah, I always lay all of mine out. I know that you're not supposed to leave it coiled up, at least in a vehicle, but again, that's UHF, VHF, but you're probably better off just straightening everything out. I think I did buy like an 80. Before I learned how to do all this stuff on my own, I bought a CNC 50-footer RG8X, which is annoying because it uses the same connectors and the same ends and the same crimp, the same RG8X that I can order and make myself for half the price.
Yeah, and I can always shorten it or use another cable. But the other cable that I have, I think, is 50 feet long as well. So I've always had a 50-foot long cable, so it's not going to be a big deal. The only difference is now I'll have an actual winder for it.
That's what you ended up running in the house, too, right, when you had to crimp your own?
Yeah, I used that cable because that was the one I was using when I would go to the parks. I have that cable now going to the antenna I got on the house, so I needed a replacement cable or a different cable for that, and I kept on seeing that Podaflex stuff come up. It's like yellow, you know, the cable's yellow, so like if you have it laying across the ground, people will see it.
I've seen Ham Radio Tube talk about it many times, and I've always liked it because it's yellow.
Yeah, it's that guy's fault. I blame him.
Well, as of right now, my setup is currently the 891 and the FC50 tuner. I've got an MC750 that is probably going to be my go-to just for the sheer convenience. I don't have a small mass right now. I've only got that spider beam, and then I got to deal with guying it and all that crap. And then I got a 15-amp battery box I made, and I think that's about what I'm going to run with. I did order another one of those antennas if you want to buy a really good, economical headset half-wave. I've got to put wire on it and tune it and all that crap, but I'll probably put one of those together, too, just to have. Like, if I go to Wesco, I know there's plenty of trees I can put it in. I have not actually put that down. I do like the idea of a wire, too, because it's just... There's really nothing to it, right? You kind of just plug it in and throw it in the tree.
Yep, you still have the that big mast, too, right? So you're going to use that for running the wire? Or is that going to stay home?
Yeah, I've got that 40-footer. And the last one I had was phenomenal. Like, it never collapsed. And then this one I tried using to get my headset at home up. I mean, granted, it was windy and it was winter and all that crap. But it collapsed constantly, and it was super frustrating. I'm sure for Poda it would be fine. Not leaving it up for, you know, days on end. But, like I said, it's big and it's heavy. So then I got to guy it, and I got to guy it really, really well.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yep. Well, you could put it not all the way up, I guess, and you wouldn't have to guy it and then have it slant to a tree. But if you're using it as the tree, then yeah. And then, you know, you would get two sides. The antenna would actually help guy it. You just need to put two other guy wires up. But yeah, that seems messy. The vertical is probably the way to go if you don't have a tree around.
That's what I'm thinking. It's just easy to set up. It doesn't need a huge footprint. I don't have to worry about, you know, bringing extra stuff to set it up. I thought about getting the tripod for it, but I had it for the old one I had. I never once used it, so I haven't bought one of those yet. But yeah, I figured with 100 watts and a tuner, right, like why not run the vertical for just sheer convenience and the ability to switch bands on the fly? But my plan with that mast, I'm still trying to find the right one because there's so many different sizes. But I want to say that's a 2-inch outer diameter pipe, or for the main beam. They make flagpole holders for your truck hitch. That'd be ideal that I can just cut the bottom out of that and slide that in there, and then just back up to wherever I'm activating. I mean, that would be, in my opinion, the easiest thing to do, because all I'd have to do is stick that in there, slide it up, and then plug in the X7.
Do you still have your ham sticks? You can use your ham sticks, too.
I forgot about that. I have a 20 and a 40, and I put a 3/8 mount with a 259. I mounted it in my truck bed. So that's even easier. All I have to do is roll my tonneau up a couple feet and screw on a ham stick and plug in a patch cable and like a, I don't know, 6-foot piece of RG8X, and I'll be activating.
Yeah, now the next thing, KF8S, by the way, and the next thing I want to try is I want to put a counterpoise on my on the ham stick. I think that might help with my situation because I was having trouble tuning the antenna, so I want to see if that helps at all.
I tried that. I didn't notice too much of a difference. I was tuning it in a truck bed, though. Like I said, mine got like the first 4 or 5 inches of it are in the truck bed, and then the rest of it is above the bed rail. But the 20 and the 40, I was always able to tune those in, like, dialed to where I was operating on voice on 20 and 40, and it was fine. But that's honestly why I haven't messed with them at all, is I got a brand new nano VNA that I haven't set up and calibrated, and that's going to be a pain because I forgot how to do all that, so then I got to watch all the YouTube videos again, and then tuning those takes a little bit of time, putting them up, taking them down, putting them up, taking them down. So that's, once it gets a little bit nicer and I can actually sit in the driveway and spend some time tuning stuff, that's the next thing I got to do is get all my antennas ready to go.
Yeah, I don't look forward to that because they're so narrow-banded, but last time when I went to Wetzel, that was that super cold day. That is not the time for me to use ham sticks because I was trying to tune that thing and my hands were just getting super cold. But I think, I'm going to do like you said. I'm going to try doing it in the driveway. I'm probably not going to do any POTA stuff or anything this weekend, but at least it'll be warm. I can do some testing in the driveway and such. I could probably even go to the far end of my subdivision where they haven't built yet. It's like all open and test there.
Yeah, that was kind of my plan, back away from the house a little bit, put one ham stick up, because I'm only going to use them out of the truck, right? So, like, if I can tune it pretty damn good when the truck is by itself, they shouldn't change a whole lot, but I forgot that I even did that, but I'm happy I did that because I can literally just throw some coax out the back window and sit in the driver's seat or wherever, well, it has to be the driver's seat because of the car seats, but super easy to get up and get on the air, but then you're stuck to one band.
Yeah, I feel the 20 meter is always going to be the go-to. If it's a day activation, pretty much going to use 20. And the only time you'll use 40 is like if it's evening and, maybe nighttime activation.
I don't think I have a single 40. Yeah, I don't think I have a single activating. I don't have a single 40 meter contact.
Yeah, 10 is starting to not be as good. It still has some moments, but lately, this might just be me. But lately, every time I turn it on, it's like really weak signals and stuff. So maybe I'm just not turning it on at the right time.
I don't know if it's my equipment or what, but I've never had great luck on 10. I don't know why. Maybe it is the timing. I've never spent much time there. I think I've DX'd a few times, but it's not something I regularly like, oh, let's check 10.
Yeah, I thought when you were doing QRP, you were on 10. Remember, you were making all those contacts before you, in your first go around when you had all the QRP equipment and stuff. I thought you were on 10 a lot.
Nope, I was always on 20. I was super heavy on 20. The best activation I had was like 160 contacts with a 20-meter handstick and an 891 and no tuner. So that's pretty much where I hung out. I don't know. I may have tried 10. Like, I may have spotted myself on 10 a couple times, but I don't ever recall, like, doing well on 10.
Yeah, and I've found that it's usually, like, Arizona, New Mexico, maybe that southern, southwestern portion of California, that's where you typically get contacts on. Same thing with 17-meter, I was always getting, like, the northwest. I was always getting, like, Seattle, Oregon, Idaho, up that direction. It's weird because you never get, like, it seems like you don't get, like, L.A. and, like, you know, that direction. Maybe there's nobody doing radio over there. I don't know. But it's always, like, San Diego or Oregon or, like, the like Southwest.
Yeah, I think a lot of my activations, I was generally out west. I don't know why that is. But it seemed like, with my old setup at my old house, always going to the east. New house, though, I don't feel like I'm getting out that far, and I know I'm using a pretty heavily compromised antenna, but I just don't feel like I'm getting out super-duper far. Like, everything I can hear and work, like, if I'm hunting POTA, it's, like, straight, it's, like, in the Midwest, like, north-south.
Can't see that. And, yeah, like Virginia, like South, North Carolina, when they had the North Carolina CUSO parties, getting a lot of those. And, but what you need to do is you need to get, if you have any way to get a digital interface on that 891, you need to hook up the thing and do a little bit of FT8. You know, you don't even have to do it for very long. You can do it for like 10 minutes or 5 minutes, and then go on PSK Reporter and see who's hearing you, and that will give you kind of an indication where your antenna is going and if you're getting out. And then, you know, obviously when you go do voice, you should be able to do the same.
No, I know. The problem is the damn DigiRig is $100 for this radio.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why that radio is cheaper. No, I think it's a worth investment to get is the DigiRig. It's or if you can get one of those all-in-one cables, the AIOC, the kind of the same method. But I don't know what your what the back of your radio looks like, if it's got like audio in. Like, how does that work?
I've got two serial ports, one's for a tuner, and one is, I imagine, for a sound card. And then I can't remember if I've got one or two 3.5-millimeter ports. But, no, I know. That radio is $630 because it's, you know, 100-watt plain Jane HF radio with no tuner. By the time you add up all the stuff, right, I had a 710, and it was probably cheaper than the 891, but it did everything. But like you're kind of going to, I like the modularity of the 891 versus I got to carry a suitcase around to get the 710 to the field.
Yeah, and then you can swap radios out, right? So, like, in my case, like, well, if for some reason there's a better radio at some point or some better portable radio, I can just swap out the 705 with a different radio, and the amp and the tuner should, in theory, be compatible. I don't have to buy a new one of those. And But yeah, and then the digi rig, if you buy a if you invest in a digi rig, right, and they're still around and they're still popular, and you change your radio, and it still doesn't have the interface, all you have to do is buy the cable that goes from the digi rig to the radio, and it'll be a lot cheaper than having to buy a new digi rig.
See, Icon is smart and uses universal everything for the most part. Yaesu is all proprietary, so that tuner only works with select Yaesu radios, kind of like the ATAZ. It's got that microprocessor that uses the RF to power and tune it and all that crap, which I don't think is like anything uncommon, but it uses that serial cable from the tuner into the radio, and then it uses the SO239 to the tuner from the radio. And then same with the DigiRig. The DigiRig is, the model number is BR891, so I'm pretty sure it's specific to that radio. So there isn't any reusing it, which is fine. Like, I kind of knew that going into this radio and buying yet another Yaesu is like you're kind of stuck with what you got. This radio is hopefully going to just be the radio that I use and have for a long, long time. Because I don't really care for the waterfall and all the features. Like, if I'm going to play radio, it's pretty much just tuning around, hunting poto or activating.
Yep, and then you have other, I mean, there's other, if you were to be somebody that's just listening and need a fish finder, there's cheaper options for that too, just for listening. And you just hook that up, and then when you find something you want to get to, you just switch the antenna over to your other radio, and there you go. Or you get one of those SDR, the pan adapter type of thing. But, in your case, you're going to be in the field. You're not going to need any of that stuff. I thought there was a little tiny fish finder on that thing. Like, it just kind of shows signals adjacent to where you're at.
It has a band scope, but it's super rudimentary, and like without, I forgot there's a setting you gotta tweak, but like you gotta actually hit the scope button, so it's not always live. It is probably not even worth using, if I'm being honest. Like, you're better off just tuning and listening. But I do have my eye on that FT1BX or whatever the heck it is, but I'm not super interested in buying it because I know it's gonna be outrageous. My radio budget at this point is really just focused on what that Kenwood mobile is going to come out like. I think if it's under $1,000, I'm probably going to do it. As long as that head gets a little smaller, from what I've seen, it looks gigantic.
Yeah, I was just thinking you could get one of those RTL dongles or something. They even make a $35 clone of the SDR Play that you could get, but then you gotta hook it up to a computer, such stuff. But if you're bringing a computer with you for logging anyways, you could use that, and that gives you like kind of a little scope just to go around. You know, you just plug the antenna into that little USB stick and bring up an SDR software and just kind of, you can play around that way too. So I was thinking about doing something like that as well, but I've already got the SDR Play, so I would just use that box. You know, I just bring that with me. But the 705's, waterfall and everything is good enough. But if you wanted to listen to like the entire HF band, right? And if your antenna might not be tuned to it at the time, but you could actually just sit there and kind of shortwave listen, with that, and just kind of scope, scan around the bands, and like maybe call out this, like your buddy, if your buddy's next to you, hey, go to this frequency, there's this guy, and then you guys just use his radio.
I've got a Hack RF, which is kind of the same. It's like a SDR dongle on steroids, so it has a screen. I can plug that in my computer and do the same thing and then hook it up to the antenna because it's got SMAs on it. So that's actually not a terrible idea. But I don't know. Like I said, I haven't really messed with the waterfall a whole lot. But I am curious what these next generation radios are going to be like. I don't really plan on buying any, but I like gadgets, so we'll see what comes out, how they come out. I would really, really, really just want Icon to re-release
the 705 with some updates, like USB-C and stuff like that, but I don't think that's going to happen. Or Kenwood releases a portable radio.
Yeah, that would be interesting if they did. Well, it probably will. They're just last of the party. But who knows? It seems like they just want to release, like, one of each type of thing. I think them going from their little portable radio to a mobile wasn't too far. You know, like, they just use the same internals, and, you know, just maybe put a different amp on it and stuff like that. But, yeah, I think I'm more, like, I don't see myself ever buying, like, I would love a Flex radio, but I don't see myself ever, you know, wanting to pay that much money for it. I would rather buy a lot of small gadgets before buying one big gigantic toy.
Same here. I would have to have, Greg 76 kind of thing. That's what he's got. Like, to justify that for me, I would have to have a really badass antenna. Know that I'm going to be able to utilize this thing and work the crap out of it. $891, I don't think that warrants a whole lot considering it was made for a mobile installation.
Yeah, like you have like a sunk space like up north in the middle of nowhere, and you have like a really good internet connection that you could remote into with your computer. That would be awesome for that.
Yep, but again, more money. So I'm good with what I got for now. I've barely even used it, but yeah, I do want to get FDA going on it just so I can check my antenna. Still not sold on that chameleon antenna. I mean, it works, but I just feel like I'm not getting close to what I should be power-wise out of it. I mean, it doesn't seem like the receive's that great either. But again, I haven't messed with it a whole lot. And unfortunately, I don't think anything is going to compare to my old setup where it was 130-foot wire up almost 100 feet, right? Like, that thing, the transformer was 15 feet above the ground, and the cable, the end of the cable where the insulator was like 90 feet above the ground. So that was kind of an ideal situation for me.
Oh, yeah. Just like UHF, VHF, you put something up high enough, you get more, you get more above the, I think, what was it, like a quarter wave? If, as long as you're a quarter wave above whatever, then yeah. But that's why you see all those towers, right? Those people with the big towers and the beams, they're really high up, and then they're focused, you know, they're able to focus their signal out somewhere. And, of course, they always usually, you know, if you get the money for the big tower, you have the money for the big amplifier as well.
That's the downside of ham radio. I mean, other hobbies, like, you jump into the big leagues and it gets expensive, but, like, you jump into the big leagues in ham radio and you're talking, like, tens of thousands of dollars to do it.
Well, the other way to look at it, too, is it probably is your only hobby, and that's probably where you're putting your money towards. So that's probably what's happening. But if you if you're diversifying your hobbies, then you're just going to spend a little bit here and there, right? So you're trying to do the – and there's something to be said about doing it with the least amount of money spent, too. There's also kind of a little bit of a pride thing there. You know, I can do this, and I spend this little money on it, right? So, if you can get away with it, if you can do it.
Yeah, that's a really good point, too. And, I mean, that's ultimately why I got into radio. It wasn't to win contests and be the booming station. It was, you know, alternative communications and, you know, how far can I take this with, you know, a wire and a battery kind of thing. So I'm with you. And, yeah, I mean, I'm a weekend warrior for ham radio. I'm not I've got a lot of other things going on, so it's not my first priority. But it's definitely not my last.
Yeah, I just look at it as a way to get away from the computer and get myself out of the house and do something. So it's kind of like the motivation to get out, especially when the weather gets warm. to be able to just, like, go outside and have a, you know, have some activities away from the desk and all that stuff and get out there. So there's that aspect of it, too. And then, you know, they have the Lark in the Parks with, you know, Chuck and everybody. I mean, you know, that's going to probably start up again. You know, unfortunately, Walt's not around anymore, but there's no reason why we can't still continue on the tradition.
I do really enjoy the social aspect of it, too. That's honestly why most of what I do now or what I enjoy is just go mobile in the truck, and I think that's why the 500 pissed me off so bad is because I, you know, I like using it, and it's what I use the most. I use it every day, to and from work most days. So that's why I think majority of my focus is going to be on that Kenwood as far as new gear. But, you know, since the weather warmed up, 500's been playing fine, so I don't understand why Yates can't just figure it out. But I just pulled in the driveway. I got to go dismiss the nanny here and play dad, so I will, I'll catch you soon here. I'll be clear. It's yours, NADBS.
Yup, it's my turn to play dad today. Well, I play dad every day, but without my wife backing me up. So I'll talk to you later. KFA does.
What a nightmare!
Did you hear your calling up to me?
...696 shut down.
Everything was telling me to take this route, 696, and then at the lodge, take that south. Now I'm on 8 Mile Road down here. It's just bumper to bumper BS. Arg, this is going to be a rough couple of years.
Yeah, luckily I don't go that way too often anymore, so should be good.
I don't either. I got to get out to Lansing occasionally, but it's not a real regular thing. Most of my stuff is, I'm as far west as most anybody's got to come, and everything I got is east of me, north of me, you know, and so I won't be terrible. You know, and then the things I do go west for are close enough to take surface streets like Royal Oak and whatnot, but outside of that, I don't get over that way all too much. Or if I do, I go north first. You know, I go up to 59, and then, you know, I've got a lot going on up that way. But I don't have a whole lot of need. It'll be definitely a pain in the ass for a while, you know, in some cases. But for the most part, I'll be okay as well. But when I'm on my way home from Lansing, I'm going to be bit by it.
Yeah, you can't even take the northern route because then you'll hit the traffic on 75.
It's not bad. I did that last Thursday on the way home from Muskegon. I was a little earlier than this, so that helped. But it was only 1 minute difference taking this convoluted mess or taking 69 and 75 and 75 south. That was definitely a way to go. Today I was on the south side of Lansing, down in Diamonddale, so I would have had to shot up to get to catch 69, and it was about four to 7 minutes longer that route. Would have been worth it maybe, and I think they underestimate the delays on this route as well. So, of course, there's other ways to do it. You can, you know, but everything's a mess down here. So what you know, if I took 275 and ran that down to 96 and took Davison, you know, that still has a bunch of problems. If I was to cut down 23 and pick up 94, that adds a lot of time, and that's going to be congested as well. So there's no solution. The one I'm really shocked about is they never recommend Highland Road, you know, rip that all the way across. And I thought sure that would be a good route.
That M59 I've done that all the way to Mason. But last week you wouldn't have hit the 75 instruction. This week you would have. So they drug out the barrels this week.
You gotta be kidding me. They're doing construction on southbound 75 at the same time they shut down 96.
Yep, they did the northbound last year, and they're on southbound this year. So, and then the year after that is tightening it all up.
Jesus, what's wrong with these people? They are idiots. I mean, I swear to God, 696 shut down, so a lot of people are going to be opting for 6975. You know, I think they must sit there and think, how can we just screw with people the absolute most, make this the most painful for the most number of people? And they say, oh, this is what we'll do, and then they do it, and then they all sit there and twiddle their spiny whiplash mustaches while they giggle at each other.
Oh, yeah, they take away all your routes. They've got 475 all torn up. They're shut down 75 at Zilwaukee to do bridge stuff for 2 months. So, yeah, it's a good time.
Honest to God, I don't know what's wrong with these people. You gotta wonder, you know, are they doing it deliberately because, you know, they're miserable little pieces of excrement. And they just got to figure out how to make everybody else, the maximum number of people they can make miserable, the better they feel about their pathetic little life. I don't understand this. I remember when they were working on all the east-west routes in Macomb County, like every one of them at the same time. So you had no alternative.
That was a couple of years ago, wasn't it? Routes even had to lay down the law because they had every mile road in Warren shut down. It's just, yeah, there's no planning. Michigan's worst season, construction season.
You know, and I get the whole thing. You know, we said fix the damn roads, right? That's what we wanted, and we demanded it. They're fixing the damn roads, but honestly, that doesn't, just because we wanted it, And we expect there to be a lot of construction to get that mission accomplished, doesn't mean there can't be some planning. I just don't, you know, these traffic engineers, they got a lot of data and a lot of ways to figure out these things. So I find it very hard to believe that they can't, you know, come to bear on this. And perhaps they do, and this is just the best of all evils. I don't know, but I really find it hard to believe.
Yeah, the 75 stuff in Oakland County is like, I can think of many roads that could use some repair out of those roads. I was kind of surprised when they said they were going to replace all that. And I was like, well, really? Well, that's not even that bad.
Yeah, then there's that. So I know sometimes you can have economy of scale playing against you. So in an effort to be fiscally responsible, you know, a vendor comes in and says, okay, we won the contract to do I-75, you know, from here to here. And then, you know, they win the contract to do 696. They say, look, if we can coordinate this to both projects at the same time, we can save you a lot of money. Because we're going to have the, you know, the crews and the trucks and everything, you know, that can pull double project, and so, you know, the cost factor becomes too great, and so that I know for a fact that happens. That also happens with throw on an extra mile, like, you know, you get a more local project to do like 2 miles of 12-mile road, and then they say, hey, well, we got all the crews and the concrete and everything and all everything, we can give you the same deal, and we can go another mile and finish this up. And, you know, and so sometimes that happens as well. But it could be something like that, I guess. We don't always know the whole story, but still, I have no desire to not be pissed about it.
Yeah, I imagine there's a bit of, you know, also the, you know, good now, but, you know, next year, that's when it all goes to heck, you know, and they get on top of it before it gets too bad.
But I feel better already. I'm on 8 Mile Road. I'm in areas that I have bicycled a lot. So I'm in a familiar area. I'm coming up on Woodward here, just across the Livernois, Wyoming, all that stuff. So this is regular stomping grounds for me. Woodward a quarter mile, so. And it's moving pretty good. I think we're mostly out of it, so. Wasn't horrible. It's a shame we have to deal with it, but it wasn't terrible. I'd rather do the 69-75 thing, but now that you tell me that about the northern route being jacked, that changes things somewhat. I don't know what I'll do. I mean, I'm going to have to really give it a whole lot of thought. So next time I'm out that way, maybe I'll catch M5 out there by 275 instead of trying to run at a lodge, because that'll kind of run you to the same place in the end of the day. And here we are, bumper to bumper, so spoke too soon. That'll teach me.
Yep, you're probably screwed either way. But, cruising 8 Mile there, you probably count all the strip clubs, dispensaries, and chicken restaurants.
Yeah, a few of all of those. So it's glorious. So much more flavor than chickens and pigs. We just a finer farmer.
Cruise an 8 Mile. You never. Never more than 100 feet from any one of those.
Well, let's see here. What is the first thing I see? That's a bank, Chase Bank. What is that right there? That's Applebee's, Myers, Marshall. This is that high fluting area by Ferndale. And they've gussied it all up. Real nice. It's where the old state fairgrounds used to be. There's a Wingstop, but that hardly counts. McDonald's. No chicken joints.
I don't know. That Wingstop sounds like it might be a chicken joint.
You don't get to count that. They got those everywhere. In fact, they got more of those out in the burbs than anywhere. Nah, you're looking for Joe's Chicken Shack, you know, one of independent. That's what you're talking about.
Good evening, fellas.
Did you just assume our identities? Okay, well, you can join us when you're done. What's this? Kitty's Cheesesteaks and more? Never seen that before. That's a little independent. What is up, Tom?
You still sitting down there with your toes in the sand?
I wish. I think you think I'm somebody I'm not.
Oh, I just hear the dial tone at the end. I thought it was Wally still talking on VoIP or something.
Well, unless he doubled with me, I haven't heard Wally in here. No, it's not Wally. Lance and Sean. So, other than that, that's an interesting one. A pink high heel with a broken heel. It says bend and snap, trip and fall, low blow.
That for the prostitutes?
I guess, right down here on 8 Mile, right by the Renegades Clubhouse.
Well, they're not prostitutes, they're social workers.
You've seen the memes on, I don't know where they're, Facebook, YouTube, X, I don't know where they are, but guy pulls up, how much will let me win an argument?
Have to pay his wallet for that one.
Yeah, she says $100. He says, get in. They're in a motel room, and she's just crashed out on the bed, and he's standing there. He's going, but honey, I want to, you know, do this or that with my buddies. And she says, yeah, I understand, baby. You need to go do that. You do that. And he goes, oh, God, you're good.
I'm not crazy, but I'm too far for Warren, I think. Mount Clemens is a little staticky. Now I'm here in New Haven and trying out the Richmond. KGO. Sorry if I stepped on somebody.
Go ahead, man. I think you're back in there.
Yeah, we've been in and out, whatever. Just glad I don't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah, we were all chatting last night on the node, and one of the guys chimes in. He says, oh, that new setup you got is going to be really, really nice. All of a sudden, like a radar. Do-do-do-do-do. What new setup? Oh, man, here it comes.
Oh, did you find out how much money you spent?
That's just it. It's only $50, so, you know, let's not get carried away here.
Oh, you forgot about that extra zero on the end?
Or two.
Yeah, what do you define as a buck?
All right, I've made it to the Quinner, heading north now into the city. So, gonna stop and get a Louis pizza. Tom?
A Louis pizza? I haven't heard that place in a long time.
Do you sheep shaggers even know of Louis?
Sheep shaggers?
So I'm saying pizza?
That's right, Louis, baby. Gonna be pulling in a minute. Yeah, sheep shaggers. You know, all you people live out in the boondocks in the back country.
I think I live the furthest than anybody right now.
Yeah, you're a pastor, right?
Yeah, you be.
The only nitpick I have.
Yeah, Lance may have us beat for somebody that works down here in the southeast. He's got the furthest travel. Was that Eric?
I got to get out ABM.
W8EAP. Yeah, it's me. My only nitpick is they put so much cheese on there. If you don't get it, a little bit on the well-done side, you'll have big blocks of unmelted cheese on top, which is not bad. But you got so much cheese on there, you have to ask them to cook it a little bit longer so it melts.
I've never had that problem, per se, but... All right, anyhow, I am here. I'm going to park, go get my pie, and then I'll be back. W8FU.
It's time for me to return a phone call. KCKJ, I'll be back.
Perfect timing. Pizza Pie Express. W8FU.
Echo Foxtrot 8 Delta Charlie Zulu. Monitoring. I'm blowing the dust off this repeater.
That's our job. Go blow something else.
All right.
Stay tuned for suggestions.
Roger, Dodger. Wonder why it's not working. It's weird.
Hey, Dalen.
Sorry, your packets don't work on a repeater.
Just pulled into Tarjay.
I have to go get my replacement Keurig back in a bit. W8FU.
Find Beeswax. I'll probably be here. It ain't NM.
Oh, man. I love the city. I hate the city.
Well, you ought to move out to Sterling Heights, then.
That I can throw on slippers and in my pajamas 2 minutes from home, I can go buy a coffee maker. I hate the people in the store, though, just make my skin crawl.
Ooh, people.
Well, you know, man, they're like oblivious to everything, and just, I don't know, just everything about them just gets my blood boiling. These mindless shoppers.
Oh, God, yeah, that drives me nuts. That's the main reason I hate going to the store. I just don't like it, but that does drive me out of my mind when, like, people stop in front of you and block the aisle, or they stand right in front when it's obvious you're trying to get something. It makes me want to kill them.
Yeah, it's okay. The checkout experience, they had one register open. The people in front of me had one cart, but they pull out
five or six items, and one person goes through and pays for that. And they pull out another five or six items. So there's like four orders in this one cart. And there's one register, so I've got to wait for four orders to process. And I don't know, just, good grief. And really, if they would have divided into four, why didn't they just go to the fast checkout? It was like two items. Anyhow, I needed to get a coffee maker. It had to get unbanded. So I don't even know if you can, I don't even know how you do that through the fast checkout. I suppose flag down the person that works there. I don't know. All right, anyhow, I'm home. I'm going to run inside and get this thing unboxed, see if we, see if we're working. I'm sure it is. I'll be at it.
Not an appliance you really want to screw around with, because bad things happen when it's out of order for too long. Catch you later, N8NM. Steve? What? Nothing. I just wanted to say that. That's all. Well, good evening. Good evening. Yes, it is good. We're just leaving dinner. I'm heading home. I'm going to pour myself a nightcap and pack a bag, and we're going to head down to Bourbon Country tomorrow and taste all the bourbon for a few days. Bring back a select few selections, but anyway, just got in the car. Well, cool. We went down there with the intention on sampling a bunch of bourbons, and then Pam and I realized neither one of us really is a big bourbon drinker, but we still enjoyed the trip. It is possible that I single-handedly make up for that. So whatever you may lack in your bourbon drinking, we see to it that it is taken care of. Anyway, I'm about a minute from the garage, so I'll say 7-3 for now. I will not be on the air for a few days. I'm not driving. So anyway, catch a little bit later. I might be on the shack a little bit tonight if I can. K8BB. All right, well, have fun. Drive careful and, stay out of trouble, or at least serious trouble. And we'll catch you later. K8BB, N8NM.
New courage in the house.